the game. It's The Huddle, powered in part by Reuben James. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Located on Main Street in Burlington. And by Stacey Adamski with Adamski Law. Charging no fees unless she wins for you. Now, it's The Huddle on 101.3 The Game at 1013thegame.com. And streaming worldwide on the 101.3 The Game app.
Good afternoon, you're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game, all accounted for. Brady's here, Rich is here, Arnie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
Hump day, let's go.
Well, look at you.
Ready?
Slow down.
Got all my candy and chocolate, and I'm wound
Slow
up.
Slow down. Yeah. That's too much.
Half a Relax. Tuna sandwich to stink up the studio.
Handsome might be good. Big boy's frustrated.
What's wrong, big boy?
People came in here and changed the settings again. Now the computers are raised up higher. And I can't see them as easily. I got a stiff neck, and now I got to look up at the ceiling to see the computer.
Don't like this at all.
First world problems.
Yeah. Sorry that the best thing you have to say when the show starts is, I got half a tuna sandwich to stink up the studio.
Right. I'm not complaining about anything. Yes, I'm just saying I came in here to stink it up.
But I'm giving a relatable problem that when people come in and their desk, workspace, office space have been fiddled with, and now we're at the point where the computer that in front of my face with all the commercials in it about all the buttons I have to press is now on the ceiling, and my neck has to look up at it like that.
That does look weird. It's always been the same. It's funny when you work in an environment where everything is the same for years on end, and then all of a sudden one thing's out of place.
And why are the lights not on? Is this how you operate in the morning?
What
the lights are like
never. In here in the morning. Don't look at me. I'm in my little cubby hole. The VMT people booted me out of my own studio.
Do the WVMT people work in the dark? Do they do their show at 6 a.m. in a cave?
Because I never noticed.
Do you notice that the lights aren't on in here
now? Would you like me to turn them on right now?
Yeah. I would.
Wow, Somebody's crabby.
I thought Arnie was the one who was going to be crabby. Yeah. Let me go turn the lights on.
By the way, I want to thank everybody that sent me Patrick Sharp's number. I know 1-800-HOT-SEX is not his number. So exactly. Exactly. I know you're giving me fake numbers out there, because when I call it, it's $2.99 a minute and another $1.99 for every minute afterwards. So I know that's not Patrick Sharp's number.
Unreal.
I told you.
Yeah.
You are being such a petulant child about this thing.
Maybe 3 years old.
Because I offered you the email for the people at NBC who gave us Patrick Sharp. Again, I don't have Patrick Sharp's number. Sorry to tell you. The people at NBC... They set us up. There was a middle person. I never even spoke to Patrick Sharp until he came on the air last Friday. I offered you that email, and you said, no, I'm going to do it myself now because you wouldn't help me. I offered you the damn email. You declined. Right. Now I don't feel bad for
you. Brady Farkas ruining kids' lives left and right. I want you to know that.
Ruining
young kids' lives and their sporting careers left and right.
It wouldn't have anything to do with dad.
No, listen. You know so funny, because you think I'm the overbearing dad. There's a lot of parents... that advocate for their kids. You know, I was speaking to a friend of mine, and I'm not going to give his name because he's almost in tears now. I'm not kidding around. He's almost in tears.
Wait a minute. You just said you're not going to give his name, and then you didn't.
Because he's almost in tears. I'm being serious. He's really upset. I was talking to them before. I'm going to read you what happened. And, you know, of course, you know, when Brady puts in my head, oh, if your kid's good enough, they'll find you. If your kid's good enough, they'll find you.
That is true.
If your kid's good enough, they'll find you. So you got to start at a young age. My friend has a kid who's an 11, 12-year-old left-handed pitcher.
Oh, jeez.
And he lost the championship game. And I'm like, look, if you're good enough, they'll find you. So I go, you got to make sure that kid's top on right now.
He's 11. Let him enjoy his childhood.
Brady says, they'll find you now. There's scouts
he's 11.
In there. In high school, they'll find you.
11.
Let him have some fun
this
first.
It's almost professional.
11.
So I told him, I go, you make sure that your kid does everything he can to stick out. I want to listen to what he put on Facebook today. And I'm heartbroken. He goes, one of the hardest things to do as a parent is to stay strong in your beliefs with your kids. I wrecked my arm, he's talking about himself, throwing curveballs when I was 11 or 12, and I swore I would not live it happen to Boston. That's his kid's name.
His name is Boston?
Oh, I shouldn't even have read that. I wouldn't let him throw a damn curveball, and he asked me for the 500th time. I finally gave in over the last couple weeks because he's at that age where the kids want to get you out with more than just a fastball. He's pitched an incredible game tonight, and his curveball was insane. In his last inning, he started crying on the mound because he said he heard a pop in his elbow.
So his 11-year-old kid needs Tommy John.
Well, he didn't. This was just yesterday.
Okay.
He goes, I can't believe I let him do that. He goes, bottom line, stay strong in what you believe in. Right is right with your kids, no matter how hissed off they get at you, because at the end we know what's right.
How about you move on and enjoy your childhood?
No. What is wrong with you?
So I ruined this kid's life?
How? 11
I want
years
you to show
old.
That because, well, first of all, you know, you push these kids to stand out at the age of 11 or 12. There's no such thing as a late bloomer anymore. My kid's 21. If my kid hasn't been, looked at by the NHL scouts now, you're no good. This is what happens when you're pushing the kids. I feel bad because I'm like, yeah, push the kid. Let him throw curveballs at 12 years old.
And guess what happened?
Why does that happen?
He's already hurt his hand. His arm's done at 11.
Does that happen to every kid throwing a curveball?
No, I'm not saying, but
Brady, you have a kid, a 12-year-old kid. You're not letting him throw a curveball?
We'll throw fastballs and changeups, and I'll teach him a little cutter.
Stop it.
I didn't throw my
Get
first...
Get out there and let that scout see you, son.
Oh, my God. You are...
11 years old. What were you doing at 11? I couldn't have cared less about it.
Let me tell you something. When I did it at 11, you couldn't even do now. I probably walked around with like a pocket knife and climbing trees and fences.
You were from the Bronx.
Rode a bike with no helmet. You know, stuff that you can't do now.
Were you equally as loud then?
Yeah. Helmet. What's a helmet?
Drive around in cars with no seatbelts.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, come on now. You can't do that.
Play street hockey and just barely get missed running over by 50 cars.
You see, but this is what you get when you don't let the kids become late bloomers. You're pushing now. Get noticed at 12. Get noticed. If you're not noticed at 13, 14, you're never going to go to Major League Baseball, NHL.
How did I say that?
No, I didn't say that. You guys, same BS with me. If they don't notice you, you know, they got to notice you at a young age. That's why these kids are throwing curveballs at 11, 12 years. By the way, how old are you when you're supposed to throw a curveball?
At least 13.
Oh, so he was off a year. Big deal.
At least 13
years old.
But it's really, for your arm's sake, it's really probably about 15, but I give you about 13.
So they throw it even at 13, huh?
Yeah.
Is it really that bad for you?
I mean, it is.
So what happens if
you... Don't watch the Little League World Series that comes up in August and just... They'll all throw curveballs. Yeah.
And they're what?
They're 12. Some of them are 12. Some of them are... It's anywhere between 11 and 13.
So what happens when you do hear a pop in your elbow? Is it that bad?
It's Tommy John surgery.
Oh, easy there, doctor. I mean, it could just be the kid could say he heard a pop.
So then the kid is a...
I mean, no, well, he's a tough little kid, but I don't know if it's surgery or anything. Boom.
Bottom line is, you still don't have Patrick Sharp's number.
No, I don't have Patrick Sharp's number.
I didn't ruin your kid's life, and nor did I ruin this fictitious kid you're telling us about
now.
No,
he's a friend of our consultant, too.
Okay, well, the consultant that you tried to go over my head to get Patrick Sharp's phone number.
Yes, to get Patrick Sharp's number.
It's like a marriage.
By the way, when I posted I posted the audio of yesterday on Facebook when we talked about the Patrick Sharp number debacle.
Yes.
And everyone was on my side.
How many responses did we get?
All three responses so far on my side.
I was surprised that Arnie, for some bizarre reason, actually got it split down the middle on the text line. That made no sense to me. Arnie's completely in the wrong.
It was mostly on my side. All right, lots to get to. It's a busy show. It's a Wednesday. We have a short show tomorrow. So, Brady, what's coming up today?
A short show tomorrow.
He's already thinking.
Somehow that matters today.
He's dreaming of Red Sox baseball.
I'm just throwing that out there.
And maybe a rain delay in Kansas City.
Was that bad to throw that out there?
Trivia tonight, by the way, Arnie, you're going to be there. City Sports Grill in Colchester, 7 to 9 p.m. $4 Harpoon beers, 5 for 5 appetizers, qualifying people to win a pair of Red Sox tickets that we're giving away at the end of the month. So we'll do a lot of fun with that tonight, City Sports Grill. As we're coming up today, 15 minutes from now, we'll talk about Clint Frazier and his saga with the New York Yankees media. Should he talk to the media? Should he not talk to the media? Has the media treated him unfairly? Kyrie, we got some more updates there since Danny Ainge has now spoken. But first, it is one of the most annoying times in all of humanity. It is officially social media derivation season, where we have to figure out and derive what is being put on social media.
Yes. I thought you were saying the beginning of OTAs, which is one of the single most ridiculous things on earth.
Wow.
Oh, just like spring training, which you celebrate every year.
No, I just use it as an excuse to go west.
So OTAs start yesterday. Tom Brady is there, present, 20th OTAs, mandatory minicamp. First time this season that it's been mandatory for guys to show up. Brady does after skipping the voluntary stuff. Then he puts on Twitter, he puts a picture, four pictures of him at minicamp. And he puts up the caption, "Treat my first like my last and my last like my first."
Ooh.
Treat my first like my last and my last like my first. And now Patriot Nation is all in a frenzy because those quotes, which is really a song lyric from Jay-Z, Those lyrics, those lyrics have people worried
that
Brady is out after the season.
Okay, if I had known it was some person, some person's lyrics, I would have absolutely panicked as a Pats fan.
Nothing to worry about here. There's nothing to read in between the lines here. He's definitely leaving. That's you don't even have to think about it.
No, and we're off.
It's true.
Next subject.
No. Seriously. I mean, why do you think he put it out like that? There's no interpretation.
Because
here.
It's some rapper's thing. I don't know.
He's saying goodbye. I mean, what do you think? What do you want him to come out and go, yeah, this is going to be my last go
around. This is the farewell tour?
This is my last year. He's got to do it cryptic. This is the way it's got to be. Otherwise, it would be too much of a media circus and a media frenzy.
But this is not a media circus.
Does he need to do it on the first day of OTAs?
He wants people to know that this is his last year and he'll be moving on. I'm going to miss him. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. Thank God he'll be gone. And maybe the Dolphins could win in 2 years from now. But no, seriously, he'll be celebrated. I wish we can, you know, can you imagine going to his last game? But there's no doubt in my mind this is going to be his last year. He's saying goodbye. Goodbye, Tom. Goodbye.
Look what's interesting to me is this. I got a message from a Patriot fan friend yesterday who said, it does feel that this feels to me like he's going.
So of course he is.
This did resonate with people. Yep. I'll just say this. Brady came out last year before the Super Bowl. I was down in Atlanta. He spoke with Jeff Darlington of ESPN and say, zero chance I'm retiring. Zero. I want to play until 45. Zero chance. Come on. Tom Brady, you are better than this. We talk about the NBA being the league where the players like the drama and the players like having the power. Tom Brady likes it just as much as they do. He knew exactly what he was doing with this tweet. He knew exactly how it would be received, and he clearly likes it.
So, of course he does.
So for as much as Brady will tell us, hey, you can stop asking now, I'm not leaving, he wants us to be speculating about
it. No. He's not doing it for the attention, though. That's not what he's doing. He's really doing it because he wants the people to know that he's going to make his last year. He wants to say goodbye. He doesn't want the attention.
Oh, he wants the attention.
He's got plenty of attention.
He's making a mockery of the media and
something
like that.
The guy can show up in a fedora and get plenty of attention. He wants to say his goodbyes, and rightfully so. He's earned that right to say goodbye. I'm totally behind him.
Yeah, but that's you're coming in from the angle that he's saying goodbye.
He is saying goodbye.
99% of the thinking public doesn't think that way. But I'll tell you what, as a Pats fan, it caught my attention, whether it's a Jay-Z lyric or whatever. And I don't know anything about that, but it caught my attention, and he clearly knew. As you said, Brady, there's no way he doesn't know that there's going to be repercussions to that line.
He knows exactly what he was doing. And I'll say this. I don't believe it means that Brady's retiring, but I do believe that Brady's sending a message with it. And here's why. Brady is in the final year of his contract. There has been no extension yet. So as far as he is concerned right now, this is his last OTA with the Patriots. Mm-hmm. That is how this situation is right now. He is a free agent at the end of the year. He has no contract beyond this year. And I believe he has never gone into a season where he would be a free agent at the end of the year. That has never happened to him before. He has always had long-term security. So I do believe that this is not a subtle jab that he might retire. I believe it's a subtle jab at the Patriots, like, this could be it here if you don't get this damn thing done. I believe there is an extra meaning to this tweet. I don't believe it's about retirement. I do believe it's about his contract.
Well, I've been saying for 3 years, I think 2019-20 is his last season. I said it last year constantly. And I just think that eventually, I don't think he's...
So now you think Arnie's right?
No,
done.
What is wrong with you?
How many years have I been saying next year is his last? So it's nothing I haven't said before. It just happens to be that Arnie is coming towards me on this one. I've said this all along. And I really believe that he doesn't want the opportunity to go off the cliff. I think he wants to retire as the king of the world.
Okay, so you think this is a major deal then? So,
well, I think
for
what
the
he's
last
saying
three
right
minutes, you kind of poo-pooed it, like, oh, here we go, reading into the social media stuff, and here we are talking meaningless football in the beginning of June. But now you think this is Tom Brady saying goodbye?
No, it's hard to say. No, the thing is what I've said is that this is going to be his last year. I've said that all along.
Okay,
so reading into what he's saying right there. It shocks me that he would come out and say that, but I also think Tom Brady has a little bit of playfulness in him and just says, well, everybody thinks I'm done, so I'm just going to throw this out there on the first day of OTAs.
First of all, you have to keep your eye on the text line. My computer broke, so let's just go and get that. Two,
maybe that's from the morning show.
I see Travis says, can we talk about something more relevant? I'm like, really? The best quarterback in the history of football is saying goodbye. Rich is saying
goodbye.
You said it since last year.
I've said it all along.
Okay, so you're saying it since last year.
I'm not saying what he said is him saying goodbye.
He's saying it's his last year.
You think it's his last year.
Tom is saying goodbye. Rich is saying it's his last year. The best quarterback in the history of the game is gone. And Travis is like, can we talk about something else?
We could talk more about Kyrie, the whole show.
And see if he's coming back. Yeah. I mean, what's more important than Tom Brady saying goodbye to you guys?
Yeah, and the trouble is the Bruins are sort of, we're sort of stuck in neutral there because it's tomorrow night.
Well,
so
802-655-6672. When you saw the social media post, we put it up on Facebook, we put it up on our website, it's on social media for us as well. When you saw it as a Patriot fan, did you read nothing into it? Did you take it as goodbye? Were you nervous by it? What were your thought process behind Tom Brady's tweet? 802-655-6672. You can call and text in. We want to hear your voice as well on that, on both the phone and the computer.
Let me tell you something. When you find out it's officially his last game, and it's his last game at home, people are going to be crying like babies. Oh, Tom. Do
you put any stock into what I'm saying about the contract situation? Because again, this is at this moment, this is his final OTA with the Patriots. That is true. He is an unrestricted free agent after this season. So do you?
I think it's a good point. I don't think he meant it that way. Only because of one reason only, because of his fantastic relationship with Robert Kraft. And I don't think Tom would ever take a dig. Well, maybe after his career, I don't know, but I don't think he would ever take a dig at Robert Kraft. Do you think
he would never. He calls him his son for the last 20 years.
There's certain times to take a dig about your contract or the money you made. Tom's made sacrifices. I don't think, Brady, that he's going to take a little subtle dig at Robert Kraft. I think this is more about saying goodbye. I would definitely, put that on the back burner because he has too good of a relationship with Robert Kraft.
Travis in Milton says, no wonder you guys aren't invited to the sports awards.
No, he said not us. He said, no wonder you as in Arnie. No wonder why you are not invited.
Why am I not invited?
And Trevor's hammering us. So.
Well, I can't read it. Some reason
says, what kills me is you guys will say there's nothing to talk about at the NHL. No headlines. What you mean is there's no drama. And if you have to actually do some analytical work to find something to talk about, the NBA and NFL are always out there and make conversation easy.
Well, He's right.
There is nothing. What do you want us to say about the Bruins other than Chara being hurt?
The NBA, though. I mean, you're talking about Golden State, Toronto. That's not really our demographic here.
Well, no, he's saying he wouldn't want us to talk about the NHL more. He's saying we say there's nothing to talk about with the NHL. He is saying the NBA and the NFL provide us drama to make conversation easy, whereas we're unwilling to go digging for hockey drama to find.
Right, because there's nothing controversial. It's all black and white when it comes to the NHL.
How much should we talk about Marchand? Does this hit dirty? That hit dirty? Sundqvist, should he be suspended for game two? Should he not be suspended for game 2? When there's drama there, we talk about that. Don't give me Ottawa and the Bruins on November 8th and expect us to talk for 3 hours about it.
And this is the best quarterback in the history of the game. This might be one of the biggest top five athletes in the history of our lifetime, would you say?
Oh, certainly in my lifetime.
Slow down, Michael Jordan.
Just answering the question.
Who would be the top five most? Are you thinking hard?
Oh, here we go. List season.
Tom Brady is not a top five athlete in our lifetime.
Before you do that, Michael Jordan, Muhammad Ali.
Willie Mays, I guess if you're going to go.
If
you're going to go back our lifetime, which is a lot longer than Brady's.
Which I just said in our lifetime.
I would put Tom Brady at about five.
No, I don't think he'd make the top
five. He's not even in the top 100 athletes.
There's some polarizing. I mean, Jackie Robinson.
Because he's an athlete. I'm just saying.
He was an influential person, yes. Yeah. He wasn't the five greatest athletes of our generation.
In terms of, again, there's a difference between athlete, accomplishments, influential. That's why I hate it. But I don't know what's more annoying, though. Social media delving into what people are trying to interpret what people are saying, or the NBA real estate experts. Right. Kyrie just bought a house in South Orange, New Jersey. That means it's the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Why shouldn't that be a report, though? Why shouldn't that be? If you're a real estate agent and Kyrie's, he's not married, but if somebody's wife or you're showing around real estate, why is that not something to, like you've got the upper hand or something like that, no?
The real estate agent themselves, but just these people that come on, like we got Rick Bucher on Colin last week. Sources tell me Kyrie's got a house here.
His wife must be a real estate agent.
Arnie's the one sending us stories all last year. Gronk selling his house in Boston. Oh, but he's going to have four other apartments near the stadium.
No, but you know what? If we think back at it now, Gronk selling his place by the stadium shows that this was going to be his last year. We should have been... We should have figured that one out.
Has Tom Brady pulled his kids out of their Boston school yet?
No, he's going to live here the rest
football
of his life.
And to a point, basketball, especially basketball, they tend to bring out the speculations and my sources say and just throwing stuff against the wall. You just don't see that as much in hockey. Hockey seems to be, here's who won, here's who lost, here's what the next game is, and here's our thoughts on it.
That's not true.
Do you hear a lot of speculating on the NHL, or is it just because it's the fourth sport?
I hear plenty of speculating. It's just the conversation around that speculation doesn't pick it up. I was on The Athletic today, and here's five people in free agency that could make sense for the Canadians. And the speculation is there. It's just the rest of us don't care as much.
And we always say hockey playoff is the best. Playoffs around much better than the NBA. So, they get talk on that also. Tom Fair Tire text line, which mine doesn't work now, 802-655-6672.
Well, Steve, he texts in and he goes, Brady seems to be a guy who just doesn't care about the money, so he doesn't buy my contract narrative. Look, that's fine if you think Brady's so selfless, but as of now, he has no contract for next season. So it's not about $20 million versus $10 million. It's about no contract versus a contract. So I do believe it to be a shot.
Robert Kraft?
At the GM of the team. That is not Robert Kraft. So
Belichick?
Yeah, if Belichick's the guy who handles contract negotiations, et cetera, and is signing players and making player development decisions or player
He makes every decision, personnel decision. But when it comes to Brady, I promise you that. Well, that comes from Robert Kraft, and it should come from anything. If you're going to decide if Tom should wear a white shirt or a blue shirt, that comes from Robert Kraft. Doesn't come from anybody else, Brady. That's the way it should be when it comes to that.
I just believe that Brady wants a contract for next season because he's never been in this situation before. He's never been in a situation before where he's gone into a season without a contract for the next year.
First time texter, Arnie. Your dream come true. Maybe you shouldn't have 3 hours to fill.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow.
That's your new best friend.
Wait, is this a bad thing to talk about? We have 3 hour show. They weren't saying this when we were talking about my getting Patrick Sharp's number, then I didn't hear anybody, don't you have something better to talk about? That was funny, and Arnie's in pain. But this, Tom Brady retiring, is not a good thing to talk about.
No, I think it's just the way you phrase it, as if you somehow know that he's going to retire. So you have a way of phrasing things that's obnoxious. Especially when you're never right.
Let me reread it. Treat my first like my last and my last like my first. I don't know. If I came on today and said, I want to make an announcement on the show today. Brady, Rich, treat my first like my last and my last like my first. You would say, what the hell does he mean? What would you think I'm
sure. I would say
you would say, it must be his last show.
I'd say you must be a Jay-Z fan show. Like me.
That would be
goodbye, Tom. We're going to miss you.
That would be everyone's wish that Arnie would say that coming on the show.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to go buy two tickets right now for Tom's last home game so I could say I was at his last home game. Boom! I bet you I could sell those things for triple the amount.
So that'd be the AFC Championship game.
No, it'd have to be the regular season. And who's the last regular home game? I'm going to sell that. Hopefully it's a crappy game. I'll buy four tickets and
it'll be minus 10 and snowing.
I'm going to do it at the break right now. You think I'm kidding? I'm going to make myself some money on Tom Brady's back. It's about time somebody else made money other than him and Giselle. 802-655-6672. We're saying goodbye to Tom Brady. 802-655-6672. What's coming up next, Brady?
More drama for you drama-loving fans.
NHL Woo-hoo! Drama?
Clint Frazier not happy with the New York media, not wanting to talk to the New York media. Is he in the wrong?
That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. What do I point?
You've been sitting through the whole break. We appreciate you, and we know you have a lot to say. Now, get those phones ready to call in or text at 802-655-6672. It's The Huddle on 101.3, The Game.
Look at them all twisted.
You are, like, you think some
this is horrible
event was happening.
Can you fit?
I can't even talk now.
Take your headphones off. I wish people could just see what's going on here.
You're in absolute utter panic.
Arnie's, I can't even get my computer on because you guys broke it now.
About nothing.
Arnie's computer went down for like 30 seconds. He's running out of the studio to try to find our engineer. Then he comes back and says, I fixed it.
The engineer does nothing, sitting around just doing nothing.
Do you realize
now?
There wouldn't be any of these radio stations ever on the air if that engineer didn't do what he does.
I don't know my password to get into check out.
I can't. First, he wanted my password, which isn't going to do you any good.
Let me see if it's my. Let me see if it's one thing that I always go with for all my bank
accounts.
You
would think that the world was ending the way you've been running around this building.
Well,
just yelling at people.
I hate when there's everybody ripping me on the text line. And I got in. It is. Oh, wait. No, I didn't get in. Oh, I did. How do you like that? It is the same thing I use for my damn bank account.
So why are you so anxious to get ripped on the text line?
Well, I don't know.
You know it's there.
I just don't understand why people are ripping me because I'm talking about Tom Brady. It's like, wow, Arnie's talking about Tom Brady. That's ridiculous. We need to talk about something else. I don't understand that. It's like me talking about Michael Jordan or something.
Now you can look at all the hate. It's James in South Burlington. I love it. Nobody likes to hear Arnie talk more than Arnie.
Wow.
Let's see.
That's my job to talk, though. I have to do my job.
By the way, the full Jay-Z quote, and I'm not getting this on the text line. I just know it because I worship the ground he walks on.
Yes, you do.
I treat my first line my last, and my last like my first, and my thirst is the same as when I came.
So that would make it sound like he's
going.
That would make it sound like he's just as hungry as when he got there, but he didn't put the full quote in. So
right.
he knew what he was doing.
So now he's purposely saying he's going.
He knew what he was doing.
Cade says, forget these haters. Football's king. Please give us more. Talk about all you want.
Daniel Jones looked great at Giants OTAs today.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, you want to do that? Let's do that one, huh?
I'd like to.
Yankees got injuries. We could hit that again.
I'd like to talk about the Yankees. Clint Frazier, by the way. So mistake of the day, 802-655-6672. Thanks to Embroidery Works, Joanne's Uniforms in Colchester. You can find them on Heineberg Drive. Clint Frazier, interesting. Different than the way we think of the Yankees as very buttoned up, very organized, very stoic, not a lot of personality. That's how the Yankees have been traditionally for the last 15 years or so. They've been boring. Clint Frazier is not that. So Yankees take 2 of 3 from the Red Sox over the weekend. Clint Frazier does not play well on Sunday, miscues in the outfield, lets a ball go under his legs, ball rolls to the wall, Red Sox score a run out of it, does not speak to the media after, says, I'm not speaking to the media. Then yesterday, before the game against Toronto, he defends his decision to not speak to the media on Sunday night and says that the media in New York has treated him unfairly in his time there and he's never really fit in. There's two separate kind of thoughts here. One, him not talking to the media Sunday. One, his thought about the New York media being too tough on him. I'll start with this with you, Rich. Do you think Clint Frazier had an obligation to speak to the media on Sunday after his screw-ups?
Well, based on the fact that the Yankees find it very important that they communicate to their players constantly that speaking to reporters even after lousy games like the one he obviously had on Sunday is an expectation that comes along with wearing the pinstripes in New York. To that point, yes, I think he has an obligation to do it. Also, the fact that hasn't done anything in pinstripes. And he talk about opening up a can of worms for his immediate future. You can't do that in that media market. You're just asking for trouble.
Who?
Exactly. Breadsticks, Olive Garden.
Who?
Yeah.
If he came up to me, I'd say, excuse me, I don't have any change, sir. Who are we talking about?
Wow.
Who are we talking about? Clint Frazier. First of all, a couple things about this. I got a big problem. First of all, when you're really a nobody, because you're not even one of the top three guys on your team, four guys
That's
on
for
your
sure.
team, top five guys on your team.
Look,
whatever
he's not
you
a nobody. Okay, but 24 okay, years old, he was a top prospect in the organization.
Top prospect. I bet you got to talk to the media when he was a top prospect and wanted to build his way up. Then I bet you there was plenty of talking to the media then, right? You don't want to go ahead and face the media if something goes wrong. You know, that shows your character. And Brady, do they have the same rules in baseball as they do in the NBA or no? Where you are
not obligated to speak to the media.
Okay, so he's not obligated.
Here is the rule.
Yeah.
Here is the rule in the collective bargaining agreement. It is very important to our game that all players are available to the media for reasonable periods, and it is the player's responsibility to cooperate. Nowhere does it say it's mandatory. It says it's the responsibility of the players to cooperate. It does not say it's mandatory, so they strongly encourage it. They want it, but nowhere does it say you will be fined if you don't speak, you will be kicked out of the league if you don't speak, you will be automatically demoted if you don't speak. So it is not an official rule, but the Yankees like it, and baseball encourages it.
You said that what was the quote that you gave before then, that he thinks that he was treated unfairly?
He thinks he's been treated unfairly by the media during his time in New York.
So this is the way things are nowadays. You get treated unfairly, so instead of approaching the person and discussing it and getting in front of the media and saying, "Hey, you know, let's talk this out," or you know, I'm feeling like you're treating me unfairly. He didn't want to do that, so he's just going to cut it off.
Well, he's done that. We've got to give him a little credit there.
Well, do I? It's kind of like if Cora said, "You know, I really wish I could do more for Puerto Rico. I really wish I could speak to the president about getting more funds." Well, you had your chance, right? You had your chance to go ahead and speak. And
so this is different.
Wait, is that different when you have your chance to get in front of somebody, when you have a chance to get in front of the media or in front of the president or in front of any detractors? Shouldn't you do that, or should you run and hide?
He had a problem with Michael Kay, the TV announcer. He had a problem with Susan Waldman, the radio announcer. They both apologized to him because they were the ones that were in the wrong, they felt. They apologized to him. He accepted their apology in one-on-one meetings. Why does he need to get in the media, get in front of the media in front of everybody else?
So why wouldn't you want to go to the media now? If he accepted their apology, now everybody has to do their job. Why is he not talking to the media now if he accepted their apology? That kind of makes it worse, doesn't it? Are you holding a grudge?
Look, yes, I think he holds a grudge. And I don't think Clint Frazier would be a New York Yankee if everyone were healthy. Because if everyone were healthy, there's no room for Clint Frazier. Right. They already have Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, Aaron Hicks, Jacoby Ellsbury, and Brett Gardner. Those five would be on the roster because of the money that they are owed, and in Gardner's case, because of his kind of senior leadership. Clint Frazier would be buried in AAA. He would be unhappy about that, and I think they would move him because they have a surplus of outfielders. They can't do that now because of all the injuries, and you don't know about Ellsbury's future and all that, but if they had a fantasy world where everyone's healthy, I don't think Clint Frazier would be in New York despite all this.
And the thing that bothers me is sort of what I was bringing up before. This is a 255 career hitter. He's played 96 games in his entire life. Breadsticks, Olive Garden. Absolutely. Who the hell is Clint Frazier to blow off the media because he made a couple of errors in a game?
Look, I'll say,
he's not in a position to be able to do that, and he's setting himself for a very nasty relationship in the number one media
especially
market.
When you're that young, because it won't be the last time he commits an error or two in a ball game that cost him a game if he's going to have a long Major League Baseball career.
My take on this has changed even in the last 3 weeks. It was about 3 weeks ago that the Red Sox blew a game, and I want to say, I can't remember, but it was Matt Barnes and Ryan Brazier didn't speak to the media. Hmm. And Alex Cora came out the next day and he was critical.
He said,
that's not how we do things here. I'll make sure those guys are held accountable. I think I gave those guys a bit of a pass. I'm not going to give Clint Frazier this pass. So I don't want to be a hypocrite. So I'm just going to say, I believe that my opinion has changed in the last 3 weeks, and I wish I had felt this way about Brazier.
Michael Chavis blowing off the media because he went 0-for-4 and struck out three times and struck out with the bases loaded in the ninth inning. I mean, who's this guy?
I mean, look, Frazier said, I know I let my teammates down by not standing in front of the media, but I let them down more with my defensive performance. I want them to know I'm trying as hard as I can, and I want to be here more than anything. He also said, basically, what is there to talk about? I sucked. I lost us the game.
Well, there's
nothing more to say.
Then be a man, sit in front of the camera, and deal with it.
Well, I mean, from his perspective, he says, I already knew I lost the game. So, like, what more am I going to just go and beat the dead horse?
We'll find out. We'll see what kind of questions the media ask.
Create the distraction? He knew that was going to be an issue. I mean, he had to have known when he walked out of that clubhouse that him blowing off the media in New York is going to be talked about in New York the next day.
And he apologized twice. He goes, I'm sorry for what I did in the game, and I'm sorry for not facing the media. Well, don't do two things wrong. If you've done one thing wrong, don't make it worse by doubling up.
Do fans care that players blow off the media? Because, look, in the world of fake news, it feels like everyone's against the media. So, and everyone blames the media for blowing things out of proportion, and we're getting, Texans saying, oh, you guys are making something out of nothing. It feels like the general population doesn't really care for the media. So do fans endorse a player who takes a stand and says, no, I'm not talking to those guys, or do they want him to talk to the media?
They don't care, but they should care. Because the media is really there for the fans. The reason they don't care is because they get so much on social media, they get so much information on Twitter, Instagram, or whatever, Facebook, they don't really need the media.
Well, John Shambi, who calls Sunday Night Baseball for ESPN, longtime baseball voice, he was on Buster Olney's podcast today, and we'll talk with Buster about this at 5 o'clock. He says the fans should be really offended by this.
My biggest thing is when the players don't participate, they're basically flipping the bird to the fans. And it's funny to me when the fans say, I don't care if he talks, because it's like a lot of times I don't think the fans recognize that the transaction that's taking place is that the fans aren't being insulted in that spot. They should be insulted in that spot because subtly, indirectly, I'm making it sound more dramatic. I'll concede that. But it's a slap at the fans, because that's the only way the fans, when you're watching, you're a Yankee fan, you're watching Clint Frazier box balls in the outfield, and you're like, what's up with this dude? And you never hear about it, and because he's not participating, just contemplate that.
So he says the fans should be insulted. It's a flipping the bird to the fans when Frazier goes and does this. I understand Frazier's frustration with the media. I do. I get it. The things that he's upset about in the past, you know, we talked yesterday about the Yankees beard policy. There was all this talk about, was Frazier going to cut his hair when he got to Cleveland, and when he got here from Cleveland, and he liked his hair, and was he going to do it? And just all this junk about how Frazier looked, that was a big part of this. Then there was the story where Susan Waldman reported on the radio broadcast that Frazier had asked to wear Mickey Mantle's number 7, and that got all the Yankee that got all the Yankee traditionalists up in arms. And Waldman came out and apologized and said, "I had the story wrong. That's not the case." But the perception is that here's a guy who doesn't care about being a true Yankee. He wants the long hair. He wants them to unretire Mickey Mantle's jersey. That is the narrative that is out there about Clint Frazier, and he can't shake that. I get why he's upset. I believe he handled this wrong. You should talk to the media. You see, whether it's Cody Parkey, the Bears kicker who misses it, all these guys, for the most part, they stand in front of the media and they take it and then they move on. I get why he's upset, but he still handled it wrong.
Well, I'll tell you, he's not starting out well. And the problem, too, is
He's been there for three years. He's not starting out anymore.
He's played 95 games or whatever I just said.
He's been in the organization for more than 3 years.
Sure he has, but he's just been a late-season call-up, or he's just been up because of injuries, which is exactly as you just said. The only reason he's up there is because he's not in the minors, because half the team is on the injured list. But you can't, especially in New York, you can't start your career this way. Unless you're going to have a nearly an MVP season over the next couple of years, he's asking for it. All I heard on WFAN on some Monday morning when I was coming in at 4 o'clock in the morning on the overnight show, all they're talking about is this wise ass of a kid and who does he think he is, instead of the fact that the team, despite the fact that half the team is out with injuries, is rolling in first place in the AL East.
Could you imagine if you were like the president of ESPN? You paid $1 billion or whatever it was for Major League Baseball TV rights, and you can't even get a quote from Clint Frazier after the game after you pay $1 billion from everything from putting the game on TV to the post-game interview, and your reporters can't get anything. You know what I would do? Next time he came to bat, I would pixiate him out, and you wouldn't get to see him at bat.
Is that a word?
Pixelate.
Wouldn't that be funny if they just blurred him out? And you wouldn't be able to see, you could just see his bat go, but you wouldn't see him. Yeah. That'd stop him from not talking to the media.
Yeah, I mean, he is just asking for it this early in his career in that market.
It's ridiculous.
I don't, last Buster only at 5 o'clock. I don't think Frazier will be here much longer. Not because of this, because there's just a complete logjam. Frazier's a good player, by the way. And don't forget that through all the injuries that they've had, Stanton has played like 4 games this year. Yep. Judge has missed a month and a half. Okay. Clint Frazier has helped keep them afloat. Clint Frazier is a good player. He's a valuable piece of their organization, but there's just no room for him. They could go and get a piece that could help them, you know, restock their minor leagues more at the lower level so they can keep filtering up talent as time goes on, or go get maybe a pitcher in the bullpen rotation, whatever, that could go help them try to win a World Series this year. Clint Frazier has value to them. I don't think he's going to be in New York much longer, though.
Tom Fairtire, text on if you want to get in, 802-655-6672. They said what's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 they get.
Wait, what did he say? Did I hear that right? Are you sure? Let's go to the tape. It's time for They Said What? On the Huddle, 101.3, the game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3, the game on this Wednesday. Brady, let's get to They Said What? What's first?
They said what?
Colin Cowherd on before us every day, noon to 3, says there's 7 guarantees in the NFL this season, and one of them is going to make Rich happy.
Patriots win the AFC East. I think that's a guarantee. They're going to get against Sam Darnold second year, Josh Rosen second year, Josh Allen second year. He's going up against babies. I don't even think I'm being a Patriot homer. I think they're going to win the division. If you look at their schedule, if you look at the better teams they play, a lot of them at Foxborough, he's going up against baby quarterbacks and all new systems and all new coordinators.
Guarantee the Patriots win the AFC East.
Yeah, last go around. This will be their last stranglehold on that division. So they'll go out a winner. That's what they say. So Tom Brady, last go around for him.
And then they'll immediately become 4-12.
Yeah.
So is that what I'm going to have to say starting in like 2021?
If that well.
And 13.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be like the Steve Grogan days all over again. I've never seen a franchise in my life and a bunch of fans who want to see the demise of said franchise more than the New England Patriots.
No,
I mean,
that's
we've
not
already
true.
Gotten, we've already gotten through. Really?
Yeah, Golden State Warriors, people want to see the demise of them.
I want to see the
Yankees. People want to see,
the mid-90s Yankees. Like, once about 2002 hit, I was just ready for the Yankees to have won 70 and 92 seasons.
But this has gone on for 20 years now. I mean, don't you think this is, I mean, you got to put this, and I know how much Brady loves this, put this somewhere in the top five. I mean, this is definitely a situation where, I mean, I'm already saying, what did we get a couple minutes ago? R.I.P. Pat's dynasty. You know, it's like, can we wait for however many years until it ends?
More people hate like Alabama football or Duke basketball.
Well, I'd put the Pats right up there.
Now, I think there are organizations or franchises that have just hateability no matter what. No matter what the scenario is, no matter what year it is, no matter who the players are, no matter what the coaches are. These long-term brands, Cowboys, Duke, I don't think Bama football's in there.
Oh, but now they
they're
hate
in
them,
there,
though.
Yeah, but they don't, Auburn. They don't have the kind of...
And they started with Bear Bryant.
Yeah,
you know?
But I don't think they carry the same weight like that. So
I think the Pats are more nationally despised. I think the Alabama's despised mostly in the Southeast.
But I think once Brady's gone, the Patriots aren't going to be hated anymore. The Cowboys will be hated no matter what. Jerry Jones is there or not there. Jason Garrett's there, not there. Tony Romo's there, not there. The Cowboys are hated no matter what.
The Raiders are hated, aren't they?
No? Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm not talking so much about hated as I am anxious for the demise. And I feel like there is a difference.
I really think that the first year that the Pats miss the playoffs and go 7-9 without Brady, there will be a great rejoice. But after that, if they do it again for another 2 or 3 years, I don't think people are going
to
care.
Good,
because
I'm not looking forward to listening to it.
I really don't think they're going to care. I think it's going to 1 year where everyone just stomps on the grave, and then that's it. I think the Patriots are going to go back to being a relative unknown by the rest of the country.
Isaac says the Patriots are the team that nobody feels indifferent about, love or hate. But you, like we said, you bring that up with the Cowboys, the Raiders, you know, Notre Dame football, Alabama football.
Yeah, Notre Dame's a good one.
Golden State, yeah, Notre Dame football, but hasn't really been.
Very polarizing.
How many times in the last dozen years have they been in the, you know, championship?
No, the Patriots are a 20-year phenomenon. But you got to understand, for you not so old as we are, the Patriots were completely irrelevant. They were the Jacksonville Jaguars for the first 35 years of the existence of that franchise.
Which is why I think they'll just continue to they'll just go back to that.
But it's been a long time, Brady. It's been 20 years of this. And, I mean, nobody hated it. Everybody thought it was great when they beat the Rams in the first Super Bowl. But then it started getting old real fast. People don't like repetition.
You got to have some love to see their demise. I mean, for a full year or two, we're going to get pleasure out of it, enjoy
it. I know you will.
Oh, it's going to be great. I'm going to be saying, can we carry the Dolphins now? Can we carry the Jets? Can we carry the
Giants? And the boss may actually say yes.
Yeah, he may say yes after that.
We can't sell these guys anymore. They're 5-11.
They're horrible. What are we going to do?
They said
now?
What?
How about first things first today on Fox Sports 1? Chris Carter, Nick Wright, we're talking. Nick Wright brings up a really interesting point about Kyrie Irving and the rumors that Brooklyn is the leader in the clubhouse for his services.
Kyrie, to me, is these four options. Stay in Boston and play with Anthony Davis. Go to the Knicks and play with Kevin Durant. Go to the Lakers and play with LeBron. Or go to Brooklyn and have a version of what you just had in Boston that did not work out. It is fascinating to me that you would have an option to play with, what, the best, the second best, and the fifth best player in the world, however you want to slot LeBron, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, and you might choose door number four, which is to play with a promising young team in Brooklyn when you just had a promising young team in Boston and couldn't make it work.
Doesn't it feel, though, like Brooklyn isn't Boston?
Yeah, doesn't make sense. He doesn't want to play. He's saying he doesn't want to play in the Nets, right?
No, he's saying he doesn't understand why people keep reporting that Brooklyn, because he said, as he said, Kyrie seems to have four options. If he went all in with the Celtics, if he told the Celtics, hey, I'm in, no matter what, I'm in, they would go out and make the play for Anthony Davis, is what he's saying. If we knew Kyrie was committed, we'd go out and get AD for you. That's what he's saying. That's what Nick Wright believes.
Right.
So that's an option. Go back to Boston and get Anthony Davis. Or go to the Knicks and play with Durant. That's an option. Or he can, what's the third one he said? Oh, he can go to LA and play
Lakers.
With LeBron.
Right, right.
So he could do all of those three things and play with another superstar, and he might choose to go play on a worse version of what he just had in Boston. It's never made sense that Brooklyn will be the leader in the clubhouse.
That's why that statement he just made no sense to me, because it sounds to me like he's saying that Brooklyn is right there with the Celtics, especially before this year started. Are you kidding? That wasn't even close.
He's saying that the young core, Brooklyn has a good young core. He's saying, why would you want to go to a place that has a good young core, but a not as good as young core as you just had in Boston? You couldn't make it work in Boston. How the hell are you going to make it work in Brooklyn? He is saying, as I have said all along, I don't buy that Brooklyn is the leader in the clubhouse like Rick Bucher has reported.
And they also say that Kyrie's not been in contact. Danny Ainge said this. With the Boston Celtics, which is why I was yelling at you and Brady when I say, yeah, have the general manager like Gettleman get a hold of all the players and tell him what his plan is and what he plans to do when you don't even have players calling the organization up to tell them what they want to do. Way to go, Brady. Way to go.
Kyrie Irving is not under contract right now.
Well, so, but there's a chance he may come back. At least tell us, you're coming back, you're not coming back.
Wait, is Danny Ainge allowed to call Kyrie Irving?
Yes.
And now say, what are you thinking? What can we do for you?
Yeah.
Okay, see, that would make sense to me. I don't know why he's not doing it.
Because Kyrie doesn't want to speak to him.
In the Gettleman situation, it's different because Landon Collins had a year left on his contract. You're trying to win that season. So, yes, there deserves to be some conversation.
It's not so much
there.
About Collins. It's so much why you don't talk to the players, because when the players are going to be free agents or have a year left, they don't talk to you. It's a two-way street both ways there, my friend. It doesn't work that way where you're just going to have the general manager speak to the players and give up all his secrets and what he's going to do and what moves he wants to make. And suppose he can't make the moves. Then you look like a knucklehead and you're stuck with the players that you said you were going to trade. 802-655-6672 if you want to jump in.
I see Ty's delusional again today, doing some day drinking up there. Pat's dynasty should have ended this year, but a phantom call in D. Ford kept it alive. Brian in Richford, a Dolphins fan. I'll dance on the Pat's grave until I am in mine, cause sisters are Pat's.
I don't
Pat's
know what
fans.
That
is. Okay. You guys need to screen the text and read if they... if they make sense before you just read them verbatim.
No, because I understand that you will tell me what that actually means.
Yeah, I hope you're the autocorrect guy.
You are. You are Textology 101.
802-655-6672.
It's a sure thing.
Hour one, just flew on by. It's in the books. Brady will come back, tell you what's trending. Then we'll get to the top four at four. That's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
This is 101.3 The Game. The Red Sox are champs. The Patriots are champs. Life is good for everyone except Arnie. It's the Huddle, now on 101.3, The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3, The Game. Beautiful Wednesday out there. Well, it's a little chilly, isn't it?
It was overcast and gloomy.
It's supposed to be 1.5 to 2 inches of rain tonight. What are you talking about beautiful?
Well, if you think that's beautiful, you're loving the last 2 months.
I like rain, but not like this.
Wow. I'm no Sean Parker, but, you know, come on now. Give me a break here. By the way, I saw this real quick. I wanted the Julius Irving Award candidates for this upcoming year. For the top small forward of college basketball. So, you know, you have people from Michigan State, Louisville, Notre Dame, Purdue, Kansas State, Florida, and Anthony Lamb made the list from Vermont. So there's only 11 on the list. So they're saying he's one of the top 11 small forwards in all of college basketball.
Nice.
Julius Irving Award. College basketball.
I thought that meant either the best dunker or the best afro.
Oh, stop. What is wrong with you? Seriously,
what's wrong
with
hair?
You?
He had great hair.
Yes, he did. He had great hair. But
that's what Arnie's hair used to look
and
like.
And he was a UMass guy. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
We used to see him play against AIC when I was growing up down in Massachusetts. My dad used to drag me out, and there was Dr. J playing for UMass.
Against American International
College?
Yeah, back
then. Yeah, preseason.
So we got a top 11 guy in the entire country. Could you imagine if we just went up a conference? Where would we be then? All right, Brady, go ahead.
Can't help himself.
No, but I can't help myself because I get proven right like every day. Something else is just proven right. I mean, now we have a guy that's like one of the top players in the country. We're not talking about just for small teams.
Well, so how does that prove you right in any way?
But just shows that even what we are now, we get top talent.
So Ja Morant, right?
Yeah.
Ja Morant went to Murray State.
Yeah.
He's probably going to be a top 2-3 pick in the NBA draft.
Okay.
I'm just saying, how good is Murray State going to be next year without him?
I don't know, but
they
go up and down.
Should they move up to the SEC just because they had Ja Morant?
No.
Okay. So
no,
thank you.
No.
Boom.
But I don't know if they've been dominating like Vermont has been dominating.
Check, please.
And by the way, do you know why he went to Murray State? I think Murray, when this kid wasn't highly recruited, Murray State was the first one to step to the plate.
Okay,
he felt
fine.
No, I'm just saying the story. If he felt the close confidence to him, but it just goes to show you, you know, schools like that can absolutely do that. Murray State had one of the biggest upsets in NCAA history. Didn't Dick Vitale, although it was Austin Peay, where Dick Vitale said, I'll stand on my head if Austin Peay won and they ended up winning.
Middle Tennessee State, remember, was great 2 years ago, and they beat Vermont by like 30 in the NIT, and they were that good. And then their coach went and left and went to Ole Miss. And did you see them in the tournament this year?
Yeah, but Vermont's been dominating, though. They have. I don't know if they've been dominating their conference like that also.
Middle Tennessee State was a 15 seed that beat Michigan State in the tournament, and now can't even get in the tournament.
Hasn't Vermont won like three of the last, I don't know, six America East championships? I mean, they're
better
dominated.
Than that.
They're always good, but they haven't won the championship every year.
They've won the last three regular season titles.
I'll give you that.
And before that was Stony Brook for one and Albany for the previous three.
And UMBC beat them in the play. I'm talking about overall championships, the stuff that really matters.
Okay, then UVM has won two. Because they lost to UMBC in the tournament a couple of years ago.
By the way, speaking of UVM sports, very excited. Isaac has texted us several times saying that construction has begun up at Patrick Joe. I guess it's going to be called the Terrence Center.
Oh, that's exciting.
It started today.
Yep.
It's really cool.
And Jeff Shulman tweeted yesterday that he's parked in the media lot for the last time, the overflow parking media lot. So
yeah, it's going to be real fun. I'll tell you, this is when pigs fly. This really is to me. And you know, this and now they're talking about completing part of the Cirque and the south end of the city. Good God, what's happening to this place?
If only they could get the rest of downtown updated to the point where we actually know where we can park again.
Maybe patch some potholes.
Very. By the way, when do you think that will start paying off for the basketball and hockey team? You know,
I would say you probably start getting recruits for now to next year.
Sure, just show them the blueprints. Look at this; you can play in this.
That's awesome. I mean, now we'll see if the hockey team can start turning it around immediately. Start getting some real big players out there, players that have recognition and all that.
Like your son?
You're like, Mike, there you go, boom.
Really, Brady?
Well, that's what he means.
You sound like Artie, you just can't help yourself.
Archie wasn't thinking of that, but that's okay.
How's your son doing in Italy?
He's doing great in Italy. He's having a good
time. Does he practice?
You know what's so funny? He goes, I'm keeping up on my studies, but it's tough. I go, it's Wednesday. You just started Monday. I go, how far could you be behind already?
Are the Italian national team members shooting on him? Is he doing proper training while he's there?
No, he's not training out there. He did say, though, there's five women to every one guy, so he is making a lot of friends. He's going to fly to Paris, I think, in 2 weeks. Isn't that where the Women's World Cup is?
I don't know.
Because I'm like, should he go see that if he's out there for something like that, or is that worth it?
No, you should.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, if you have time, I guess, go out there and
start dating a right winger or left winger.
No, but if the Women's World Cup, though. I mean, do you want to spend time watching a soccer game or do you want to see the sights? Because you're only going to be there once.
Soccer? I thought you were talking about hockey.
No.
Is there a left winger in soccer?
It's going to be on, I think ESPN's covering it. And I think it starts in a week or so.
He told me he'd gained 20 pounds already in 2 weeks.
I'm sure he has.
Yeah, he's completely out of shape. He's
drinking
done.
Drinking wine. There you go.
Well, if he's going to get to the NHL, I expect him to be more dedicated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow. He's slacking.
Wow.
Rather than going away.
I hear he's been drunk every night, too.
You know what? Maybe he needs some motivation, like Patrick Sharp's telephone number. So,
you imagine how happy he must be.
Hours of show to cover every day. But here's the top stories. All you need to know in one spot. It's your top 4 at 4 on the Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
I just cut you off when you go down that tangent.
Number 4.
Patrick Sharp's on the line.
I don't even remember what I said.
No, not you. Him.
Oh, okay.
I don't even remember what I said.
You just said about Patrick Sharp's number and all that, so I'm done with that. But we'll stick with hockey, though. Game 5 Stanley Cup Finals coming up tomorrow. Bruce Cassidy provided, somewhat of an update on injured defenseman Matt Grizzlick and Zdeno Chara today to the media.
Grizz skated today, red jersey. He's still in protocol. When he gets cleared, he'll be ready to go, whether that's by tomorrow or not. I can tell you today, Z, facial injury. No update on him. Give you a prognosis on him tomorrow. That's probably the best I can give you right now. Obviously, Z's not here, didn't skate, so it makes it a little more difficult for him. I've always said that. The guys that are skating are obviously a little closer.
Certainly doesn't sound like Zdeno Chara is going to play. They're just trying to come out and say, or not say, that he has a broken jaw, and they're just trying to give an inkling to St. Louis that he might play so they can prepare for him, but he's not playing tomorrow.
You know, you gave so much credit to Cassidy. We know that Chara really wasn't a guy that you know, was going to play a full game to begin with anyway. You left your team with how many defensemen before he got hurt?
You have six. That's what you always carry. Sometimes seven.
Well, wouldn't you have gone with seven because you knew one of your defensemen is slowing down at the end anyway? And now
he's playing 25 minutes a night.
And now you've left yourself with five? Okay, so I guess I'm right for the wrong reason.
Well, you're just assuming that one of the guys is going to get hurt. I mean, how do you assume that?
Well, you have to make your choice of the extra forward or defenseman.
And remember, you're down multiple defensemen as it is. Now, you don't have 15 defensemen you can draw on. You're already down you're down Grizzlick already. You're down Kevin Miller already. So you're already down two of your top six going into the game.
I think that's why I would have, you know, maybe put an extra defenseman on before.
Many defensemen do you have?
Well, I don't know off the top of my head. Okay,
you have the six who dressed.
I gotta assume more than that.
The six who dressed, the two that are injured. That's eight. How many more do you have to choose from?
Some guy named Urho Vakaninen practiced with the group earlier today.
There you go.
Watch him score a hat trick.
Sorry, I didn't know his name there off the top of my head.
Urho Vakaninen.
Yes.
Well, look, it would be great if Grizzlick could play. It sounds like he's getting closer. You hope it's tomorrow, but certainly being in concussion protocol, they're not going to rush him into playing. He's going to have to be cleared by multiple doctors and independent neurologists, I'm sure, to get out there. So he won't play unless he's 100%. You would love it because it would help the Bruins crunch on the blue line, but it certainly doesn't sound like Chara's playing at all the rest of the season.
No, and the question becomes, I mean, we laugh about Vakanin, and he did play a couple of games, and if they're going to go with seven defensemen, he might have to be number seven, and you would assume Steven Kampfer would probably be the number six guy that they'd bring up. But boy, that's that seems to be a step back, but if nothing else, you'd have fresh legs out there.
Yeah, and Arnie, I think...
See, they're doing it now.
It's ironic when we've talked about Chara's importance to the team, because we have taken plenty of calls and texts where... Hey, Chara's looking slow. Hey, Chara's been beat. Rich, you've even said, hey, looks a half step slower than he used to or whatever, and that's a big deal in hockey to be a half step slower. But, I mean, they do need him, and you're right. He's being counted on to play valuable minutes. So, Arnie, I don't think you can say it's not as simple as, well, Chara was only going to play 10 minutes. You should have been able to account for that. He's been able to play a lot more than that and play well.
Well, no, I think he was the one question mark on the defense, and that's why maybe you would have said, I'm going to go ahead. Look, did you need him offensively? Do you need that extra guy offensively? I didn't think so. So I don't know who the extra last guy is offensively, but if I have to choose one or the other, I think I would have gone with the short side with the defense.
And remember, this is St. Louis is not a speed-driven team. Right. It's been all about physicality. Against Toronto, he looked a little bit exposed. Okay? Everybody else has been more kind of in his lane of where he can excel. I know Carolina tried to play a speed game, but Columbus was more of a power game, and now St. Louis is more of a power game. Those are things that fit into Chara's skill set. They're not as fast as Toronto.
And it's interesting, Joe Haggerty, who is a guy I really respect, his work he does for NBC Sports Boston, was saying, this is a huge blow, and he isn't sure the Bruins are going to be able to come back from it.
That's this.
I think one thing you've learned over 20 years plus years with Zdeno Chara, you never doubt him in any of these situations. The guy's like the Terminator. He's superhuman. But this is horrendous, wince-inducing news for the Bruins, and it's a potential turning point in the entire series for the Boston Bruins, where things could really start to go awfully wrong for them if he can't play. So is he going to play Game 5? I severely doubt it. I mean, if he has surgery, if everything goes well, I think he's definitely not going to play in that game. After that, I think we're going to have to wait and see, because this guy has come back from injuries like this before. Not exactly like this, but other catastrophic injuries and serious injuries a lot sooner than we expected. So you can never doubt him.
You know, it could also be a positive in the way that now you may have to short the lines. Now you're going to rotate five or six, and you're saying, okay, well, then they're going to be tired. But they've got the extra day rest, so they're going to go from Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday.
Right.
So that plays in the Bruins' favor, so they could play with a short bench if they get 2 days rest in between.
Well, right now, the problem, I think what Joe Haggerty is saying right there is that the Blues are just out-toughing the Bruins in Game 2 and Game 4, especially in Game 4. They were just hitting everything in sight. And a guy like Kampfer and Vakaninen or whatever his name is, I'm not sure that those are the tough guys they need. They need big bodies, and nobody's got a bigger body than Zdeno Chara. He's a tough guy, and he's not going to mess around with people in front of that net. But, you know, without him, you've got Backes and not much else as far as physical play guys out there. I mean, the second line, especially Krejci, is going to have to step up the physical play. That's just not his game.
Well, and Ty says Providence is out of the AHL playoffs. They have 10 guys they could bring up.
I don't know about
that. It's like bringing up a spot starter to pitch in Game 6 of the World Series.
Right.
No, I think I'll take my chances on the guys I already got before I start bringing up guys from Providence who barely played.
And that's why the Blues are just shooting on Tuukka and waiting for the rebounds, because the defense not doing a good job either. of clearing some of those loose pucks. They got to do a better job also.
Top 4-4 in the huddle, 101.3 The Game.
Number 3.
NCAA basketball making a rule change to go into effect next season, Arnie. It's going to really impact your ability to play at the college level. They are moving back the three-point line a foot and a half, getting it to international distances. They say that they want to make the three-point shot not as prevalent. They want to make it harder, so therefore less teams will do it. They'll open up the lane and increase more kind of movement around the perimeter. So you'll start seeing, I think, more of a older brand of basketball, an old-style brand of basketball.
I'm bad at numbers. I'm just trying to just picture this in my brain. The top of the key is how much is...
It's like 18 feet and so.
This is like, and the high school is the top of the key three-point line, right? They don't. The high school is the same as the top of the key. So they're moving this back to the international line. So it's got that big one-inch, like the one-inch gap between the top of the key.
Well, they already had that between men and women.
Right.
The court already has those differentiating lines on it. So
right.
They're moving it back from 20 feet plus to 22 and a quarter.
That's pretty significant.
NBA three-pointer, I think, is 23 feet.
I think if you're a good three-point shooter, it will affect you just a little bit. If you're one of those fringe shooters, you might have to, you know, either work a lot more in your three-point game or you may have to stop taking the three going inside.
I don't know. It seems to me like at least half of the three-pointers you see are a lot of them are step-back threes where the guy knows where his feet are and he moves back one step and just drains it because he wants the three instead of a hard-earned two.
What about the corners? Is that going to make we have to watch out, you know, go out of bounds and stuff like that?
I think this is pretty significant, especially for the guys in college that are used to it being a certain place and that's where they've been practicing. And it's almost like moving the rim up at half a foot when you think you're going to slam dunk it.
And it's significant for places like UVM also because... Yep. For places like UVM, like Arnie said, to beat Florida State last year that had all that size, you needed to shoot the three.
That's true.
Well, now that the three-point shot just got more difficult and there will be a lower percentage, you're going to have some of those schools like a UVM that have a harder time scoring from the perimeter. So it's going to make some of those upsets a little bit tougher to come by, wouldn't you think?
I disagree because the big blue bloods are always the ones getting the 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", the 7-footers, the big names out there. Now UVM, I'm getting as many three-point shooters as I can. Give me the Jimmer Fredettes now. They're going to be more important than ever because not everybody's going to be able to shoot the three-pointer. Could you imagine if Ernie Duncan was going to be on the team for four more years? I'd say, we got one great three-point shooter. Does everybody else have one great three-point shooter? That's what you're going to look at.
If you're a team like UVM that goes, about 38% from beyond the arc, roughly, and they take a ton of them. I mean, that's a big part of their offense. If it's going to go from 38 to, say, 33, 34%, isn't it imperative that you get big guys and some sort of underneath presence? And they've certainly addressed that in the offseason.
Well, you're going to need both. I mean, they go get a grad transfer in Daniel Giddens. Yeah. But in the America East, you're not getting many 6'10 players with a lot of skill that are coming out of high school. It's going to be hard for you.
Right.
But it's good because it's going to open up the court a bit in terms of things like back cutting are going to become more important again because there's going to be more space. You're going to get more room in the lane to maneuver, so it's good there for smaller players. But when you start playing against bigger schools, it's going to be a lot tougher because you're still not going to have the size to compete down low, and the three-point shot is going to be harder to come by. I think this is a bad development for UVM outside of conference play. In the conference, it might not matter that much, but outside, it's a big deal.
Whoa. Is it really going to open up game underneath? I would disagree with that. Because now you're going to have less three-point shooters, okay? We're going to be in agreement with that. You move the line back, people are going to shoot a worse percentage.
It's just going to spread the floor.
It's just natural. It's just natural, okay? Now you're not going to have three guys on the floor shooting three-pointers. Now you have one guy who's a really good three-point shooter like an Ernie Duncan, and then you got a second guy who's a good three-point shooter. Well, you know what I do? I do what they did in the NBA championship. I do a box and one. You're on the best three-point shooter, and then I'm going to cheat underneath because I'm not worried about anybody else to shoot the three-pointer at a high percentage, so I don't have to worry about that now. I could cheat and start guarding underneath and have one guy guarded to shoot the three. That's what they'll do. That's what Toronto did against Golden State.
I think you're going to see, though, where the court gets more spread out offensively. So when you're able to spread it out offensively, that's going to spread out the defense, which is going to allow you more drive and kick opportunities, etc.
But there's only one or two guys that could shoot, not three or four guys that can shoot.
It's going to open up the interior of the lane. The NCAA even put in their memo about this rule change. Our goal is to open up the lane and not make it so clogged. So now you're able to have where you spread the court. You get, yes, you have a couple of guys on your one to two guys that are elite good three-point shooters, right. And then everybody else could still stand around the perimeter. You at least have to account for.
To triangle them, too, then. See, I've already outsmarted the NCAA. This is why I need the coach, Brady. This is why I need to get out there.
Oh, my gosh.
Top 4 at 4, 101.3 the game.
Number 2.
Yankees outfielder Clint Frazier speaking out yesterday. So, look, he defensively loses the game for the Yankees in his mind on Sunday night against the Red Sox. Ball goes under his glove. He's had all kinds of issues in the outfield this year. He does not speak to the media. Aaron Boone says yesterday he wants Frazier to speak to the media. Being a Yankee is being accountable for things good and bad. Frazier defends his decision to not speak to the media and then adds he feels like he's been mistreated by the New York media since he got to New York in a trade from Cleveland. So what do you make of the whole Clint Frazier saga?
Who?
Is that a breadsticks at Olive Garden if I ever saw one?
You know, if it was somebody with more of a cachet, more of a bigger name, like if this was Bryce Harper, I'd be tearing him up like you wouldn't believe. Oh, you could take all that money, but you can't talk to the media. What's his name? Brandon Frazier? Oh, no, that's the actor. Excuse me. I'll get it right.
Walt Frazier.
Yeah, Walt Frazier. He's not even one of the top five Fraziers of all time.
Frazier Crane?
Oh, let's go. Frazier.
Down goes Frazier. Yeah, there's four.
Down goes Frazier is going to be a commonly heard thing among the New York media if he keeps this up. This kid's played 95 career games. I know he's been on the Yankees off and on for a cup of coffee a couple of years earlier, so he's a third-year guy. But for him to come in there and have one bad game and blow off the media, especially in that market, he is asking for a hellish immediate future because of all places you don't want to piss off the media, it's that place.
Yeah, but I also don't know that Clint Frazier is important enough to warrant that kind of vitriol from the media or the fans because he's going to end up back in AAA when everyone's healthy or he's going to end up getting shipped out of town because they don't have room for him. Look, if this were Giancarlo Stanton doing this, a guy who's going to play every day, he's going to have to wear it from the fans. Clint Frazier isn't that guy. Clint Frazier is a guy who's a AAA call-up who has helped you weather the storm. I think the fans are appreciative that he's helped you weather the storm through all the injuries. Look, it's a bad look for him, but I think the media has way bigger fish to fry if they want to ruin someone in New York other than Clint Frazier.
Right, but for a guy who's played 95 games and the whole thing with a Mickey Mantle, I want to wear a number 7. It's like, how dare you?
What was the story about
the Mickey Mantle thing? Did he request to get number 7? Or
Susan Waldman, the Yankees radio announcer on BMT, you can hear her. She said she heard that Clint Frazier wanted to wear number 7. Then she said that's not true, and she apologized
Wait a minute. She didn't make that up. Like you said, she heard it from somebody else, but she got it from a reliable source. We don't know if it's not true or if they said, you better go back to her and say, you don't know that. Make her apologize. I wouldn't put it past her to do something like that and just apologize. We don't know if it's not true. She didn't make it up, and she did get it from a source. So.
And he's got a lousy relationship with Michael Kay, which is not a good idea.
He had a concussion, and Michael Kay goes, shame on him for not getting healthy.
My point is the name is coming up a lot. I read a story the other day. It wasn't about his errors. It was about how he had the coolest shoes in Major League Baseball. It's like 95 games in, and all we're hearing is about his hair is too long. He wants Mickey Mantle's number. I mean, this is the way people are nowadays, especially on social media. They hear something, whether it's true or not. And this guy's making himself a bad name very early for a guy who's going to be in Scranton, Pennsylvania in about 3 weeks.
Well, that's why Frazier's mad at the media, because people like you who have done no research on it have a perception of him.
I saw the shoe story. I read about that.
So they have a perception of him. Look, he was wrong to not speak to the media. He should be accountable, good, bad, or the other. He'll be the first one, I'm sure, to reap the benefit when he goes 2-for-3 with a walk-off home run and wins the game. It needs to work the other way also. He was wrong, but I do understand where some of his frustration comes from. But he's 24 years old. Part of being a young player is learning from your mistakes. This is a mistake. The older veteran players on the Yankees team, whichever ones of them are left to patchwork together with duct tape, they need to pull him aside and say, along with Aaron Boone, this is not how it's done in the major leagues. This is not how it's done for the New York Yankees.
Not the Yankee way.
He was in the wrong for not speaking to the media, but I get where his frustration comes from. He needs to handle it better. Top 4 at 4, 101.3 the game.
Number 1.
Tom Brady has Patriots Nation in a frenzy. I repeat, Tom Brady has Patriots Nation in a frenzy. He has put out on Twitter yesterday, treat my first like my last and my last like my first, meaning he had 4 pictures of himself at OTAs, first day of OTAs that were mandatory, and again he puts out, treat my first like my last and my last like my first. People thinking, Tom Brady might be ready to call it quits.
I think every time we talk about Tom Brady this year, we should play a goodbye song in the background. Just to say goodbye to him. Yeah, you put that out for a reason. And I don't think it's because he doesn't have enough attention. He's married to a supermodel. He's got TB12 and other businesses.
Six rings.
And he plays quarterback for the New England Patriots. If that's not getting enough attention, I don't know what is. He just quietly wants to say goodbye to all my fans, my loving Patriot fans. This is our final swan song. Goodbye. I love you all.
Okay, let me take over as the voice of reason. And I don't think I've ever said that before.
No, I don't think
it comes
to
me. But I mean, what you really mean is, what I mean as a Patriots fan is that caught my attention. I will admit to you that that caught my attention. That was
sure kind is.
That was something you couldn't not notice.
That's like
as
your girlfriend said, I didn't answer the phone because I was hanging out with Fabio.
Wow, that's a reach. And I'm, I suppose you know him.
I do. Go ahead.
Do you really?
Yeah, he was.
Is that hair real?
He was one of my neighbors.
Unbelievable. I was just kidding.
I told you the story about my wife walking by his house all the time, but go ahead.
I'm more interested in Fabio than Tom Brady, especially at this time of the year.
I don't even know what you're saying now. Go ahead.
Let's talk for 10 minutes about Fabio instead.
Well, I was intrigued by the comment. I got a note from somebody who said, it sounds like Brady's retiring on this. Patriot fans are scared about this, despite what Travis and Milton thinks on the text line, who just thinks, can we talk about something relevant now?
Yes.
But so it's interesting to me. I don't think it's a shot about retirement. I think it's a shot about his contract. Brady doesn't have a contract for next year. It's the first time he's gone into a season without a contract for the next season. So there's no long-term security. There's no financial security there. I think Brady's saying, as of right now, this is my last OTA because I don't have a deal for next year. Let's get it done.
I don't think he would take a shot at Robert Kraft, so I don't see it that way.
Speaking of the voice of reason, Vince checks in. Brady's against the three-point line change because it's out of his range, but not Arnie's.
That's true. That's absolutely true. That's
number,
true.
Number one, I'm glad you're hosting trivia tonight because it is baller night, and I'll be playing, unlike you.
Monday was the last night.
No, it was not.
It was.
I swear. So
I'm
I can't play basketball tonight?
There's no basketball tonight. I'll give you Chris's number. You could go and text them if you want. There's no basketball tonight.
That's crushing to me.
I know. I told you that. I said Monday was the last night.
No,
I thought
it was
like
baller
crap.
Night tonight.
No, it's.
I got my stuff in the car and everything.
What does baller night mean?
That means the good ballers play. And that
so then why are you playing?
I'm doing trivia tonight, but Brady, they're moving back the three-point line, so you can't shoot it anymore anyway.
Well, that's all right. I don't shoot it from the three-point line anyways. I'm always 2 or 3 feet back.
But it's not too far for me. Right. 802-655-6672. What's coming up next?
Is Tom Brady's age playing into free agents' decisions now in Foxborough?
Yes, and that's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game on this Wednesday. You know, I told you I got my brother coming into town a week from tomorrow. Don't know what to do with the guy. He's already saying, don't take me to crappy places. You know, he goes, I'll show you around your town. You don't know where this is. You know where that is.
Go to North Beach. Go walk around
Stowe. Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
Exactly.
Go on Church Street.
What are you laughing about?
It's like automatic. Every Flatlander. Mountain Road. Go. Stowe.
Well, what do you want me to do? What am I supposed to do?
Take him up to the top of Mount Mansfield. Yeah, that'd be fun. Go on a hike.
Is there paddle boats I can rent or something like that somewhere?
Sure, but maybe not when it rains every day of the week. But yes, hopefully by then we might have. Although I'm hearing good things about the weekend, which is very exciting.
If a Flatlander came to visit you, where would you take him? You take him to all the touristy spots
To Church Street. Yeah, just show off Burlington, the waterfront.
Okay, but Church Street's three blocks. After you walk 10 minutes, then what are you going to do?
Well, you just stop and have a beer at every single stop. And then an ice cream at the end of the street.
Look what Isaac just texted in.
What?
Stowe socks?
Wow.
Wow.
Well, it's busy, but it doesn't suck. It's just busy.
Vince says, segment idea, call it what's more likely to happen. For instance, the first topic, what's more likely to happen? Arnie's kids making the pro or the... What?
The Mariners.
Mariners finishing above 500.
I see. Play on words for Brady's sake.
I got that.
The Mariners.
Okay.
Arnie's kid has a better chance of making the pros.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I want to hear.
Take him fishing, Arnie. Ram San Ralph says.
I don't do that. I don't want my hands smelling fishy.
Yeah.
I know. I wouldn't even know what to do. Yeah. It's like, oh, I have to touch that worm.
I don't know what I'm going to do with
that. I make fun of you, but I feel the same way.
Yeah. No, I'm not doing it. I don't. I'd rather just bike riding around Lake Champlain.
Yeah, and I'd sort of be like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, that's my answer. But I'd be like, hey, oh, the poor fish. He can't breathe.
You know that guy that you know the rich people that got that boat. Why can't I take that boat out and drive him around?
Because those rich people are friends of somebody that I'm no longer hanging out with.
Okay, well, so what? You know plenty of people that got boats. You know what I mean? You know all those people.
I do need to meet rich people.
See,
you're right.
This is why I wanted the 101.3 boat, and you didn't listen to me, and now it's coming back to bite us in the backside.
Like, I could have any control over us getting a boat. The boss has a boat. Just go to his house.
Look what Alex just wrote in. Alex in Moncton. Take him to North Beach? Why? Do you want to show off the latest sewage spill?
He's right.
Like, come on now. This is our town. What's wrong with you people? Come on.
It's the only time where you can ever use the word fecal and have it be okay.
Oh, jeez. All right, Brady, come on.
Rich is just a hater of
Burlington. Why do you live here?
I'm kidding. It's the greatest city on this planet.
I didn't know you were Mr. Environmentalist all of a sudden.
I know.
I'm going to take him to play ball down at Pomeroy Park or Roosevelt Park.
There's a ton of stuff to do.
Oh, he's good. He's good.
He's better than you?
Yeah, he's better than you.
Is he better than you?
He's better than you.
He's definitely not better than me.
He's better than you.
He's not better than me.
He's better than you.
I'll play him one-on-one and we can periscope
it. You play him one-on-one, he's better than you.
Okay. How tall is he?
He's 50.
And how tall?
6'2", 6'3".
Okay.
He's your height there, big boy.
You have a 6'3", brother?
Yeah.
You?
Nah, he won't beat me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll put it on Periscope.
I'll do that. Go ahead.
Mistake of the day you can get in was already just saying that. 802-655-6672. Thanks to Embroidery Works, Joanne's Uniforms, Heinenberg Drive in Colchester, your local shop for corporate apparel and first responder uniforms. They even offer lettering for your truck and trailer with competitive pricing and super fast turnaround. So I read this story earlier, and I didn't make that much of a deal about it earlier this week. But then you started seeing more and more people pick it up nationally. Now it's to the point where, okay, it's a talking point for us to talk about. Adam Humphries, remember, slot receiver, played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year. Patriots offered him a four-year deal.
Right.
He signed with the Tennessee Titans. He had kind of verbally agreed with the Titans. Then the Patriots came in late, and then he elected to stay with the decision to stay with the Titans. He comes out and he says in The Athletic, part of the reasons why he went to Tennessee were, hey, he's from the South, easier for his family to go see him. He's got a couple of kids, just hard to get to Foxborough every week to go see each other. But he adds in, I don't know that I wanted to play in New England for 4 years because I don't know with Tom Brady's age how much longer he is going to be there.
Of course.
So do you believe that Tom Brady's age is now deterring potential free agents from going to New England?
I don't think in Humphrey's case it does, because I think he looks at it and sees New England as a place where he, as a slot receiver, has absolutely no chance of playing. I mean, I don't think it has anything to do with Brady. I mean, he said all the right things about Brady, but he's looking at Tennessee and saying, there is a place I'm going to step in and make a difference on day one. Where is he going to play in New England?
They offered him a four-year deal. Yeah. They obviously found a place for him. I mean, they had a place. They offered him a four-year deal. He was making, what, $30-plus million to go to Tennessee. We don't know the official numbers on what New England was offering, but you got to assume it was relatively comparable.
Yes, of course.
So they had a place for him. They're going to offer a receiver, a free agent receiver, 4 years and $30-plus million. They had a place for him.
I would have said the same thing. You're going to be here 4 years. Is Tom Brady going to be here 1, 2, 3, or 4? And are they going to pass as much as they've been passing? Is it going to be more of the running game? A lot of question marks. I would have done the same exact thing. He's thinking correctly on that. His agent did a good job informing him, and he made an informed decision. I think he did a good job there.
Well,
other than not going, because it's just anything to do with anti-Patriots makes you happy.
No, that's not it. It's just, you know, he brings up a great point.
But, I mean, is Marcus Mariota going to turn into a star? I mean, it felt very much like a sideways year for him last year.
Well, it's right. I mean, Humphries is right, though. And Colin came out and said yesterday, he said, Humphries turned down a guarantee to go play with Marcus Mariota. He made the wrong choice. And look, if you're looking at it from just next year, then yes, Adam Humphries is in a worse place next year than he would have been in New England. But he is right about long-term security. Think about it this way. If you take a job with this boss, or you go to college to play for that coach, and then they leave, well, then what really are you at that point? You don't know. Is the company as good? What's my role with the company going to be? Are they going to get rid of me because I'm not their guy's guy? So there are questions there that you don't have in Tennessee that you would have in New England. I agree with Humphries from the sense of, from long-term security, you don't know that New England's going to win beyond when Tom Brady's there. You don't know that Brady and Belichick don't go out together. Now, we don't think that they will, because they want to one-up each other and prove they could do it without the other. But potential free agents, I do think, look at the New England situation and say, how long is Brady going to be there? How long is Belichick going to be there? And okay, if my contract's going to drastically, potentially outlast both of them, then New England might not be as appealing. I do think it matters at this point in Brady's career that that could be a turnoff for some people long term.
Did Tennessee make the playoffs last year?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, they're heading in the right direction. I'm just not sure Mariota is heading in the right direction. He was good enough last year, but...
Oh, no, they missed it last year. They made it the year before and beat Kansas City.
They missed out in the last week, I believe.
The last week against Indy. They, 2 years ago, they made it.
I mean, he talked all about the young talent in Tennessee. And, yeah, I mean, if this were a one-year contract, obviously, I would imagine this would have been a much different outcome.
But, yes, but 1 year would feel different.
I get it. I just don't. I think the fact that he wouldn't have had a role in, but you can say all you want about a four-year deal, but where is he going to play in New England? Is he going to replace Edelman?
Well, it's not about so much replacing. Yeah. Again, look, they would have. Again, this was pre-draft that this came out, so we don't know how this would have impacted what they do in the draft. But at the time, you would have had Edelman, you would have had Dorsett, you would have had Humphreys, and maybe Gordon. They hadn't yet signed Demaryius Thomas. They hadn't yet drafted N'Keal Harry. So those guys weren't in the fold yet. And maybe, I'd be interested in knowing, had Humphreys signed there, then they probably don't draft Harry in the first round, and they go somewhere else in the first round. And how would their team look differently? These are all dominoes
Alex brings up
that affect
point.
Each other.
Says Tennessee isn't winning with Mariota, and he isn't locked in long-term either. So, I guess if he left, or he's not even locked-term, he's not even guaranteed a starting spot. Who's the backup? Tannehill now has went over there? Is that?
Yeah.
Is that so? I mean, who knows?
Your boy.
Mariota gets hurt a lot also. Yep. It's not like you count on him for 16 games. I promise you that, which is a good point. You don't know who your quarterback's going to be.
You're getting clobbered, Brady, from the grammar police. You said detouring instead of deterring.
I said deterring with a little bit of an accent on it.
Wow.
I
mean, come on. An Albany accent?
I mean, come on.
And people say Lake Champlain where the affluent meet the effluent.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Really?
Does that mean rich meet poor? Is that what that means?
No, it means rich means... The fecal count.
Oh,
yes.
Oh. Okay.
I was trying to figure out a word to use for not saying bleep.
Wow. I got $20 on Brady beating Arnie's brother in basketball. That's from Cliff in Plattsburgh.
Yeah, he's smart.
Yeah, and it says Ben says take him to the Country Club of Vermont, then take the Vermont 100 and take the tram up Jay Peak. I don't know if my brother appreciates stuff like that. I don't know.
You afraid of heights?
I may just take him, down to the bad areas, play basketball.
He enjoys the bad areas. In Burlington?
Like Pomeroy Park or something.
Ooh, look out.
Yeah, watch out. That's very scary.
He could. Boy,
Brady gets very nervous down there.
What are you talking about? I have never even played there. I've never even played there.
All right, Brady, what's coming up next?
Let's talk more about the Clint Frazier situation. Put a bow on that before we talk to Buster Olney. So Clint Frazier, is he right that the media has treated him unfairly?
That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 1.3 the game.
Let your opinion be heard. Call or text in now at 802-655-6672 or tweet into the show at 1013 The Game. It's The Huddle on Burlington and Plattsburgh's home for sports. 101.3 The Game.
All right, by the way, Bill in Plattsburgh says, Arnie, take your brother on a brew tour, plenty of breweries around. He does like that. He would have a good time
does
doing something
like
that.
Does he drink beer?
Yes, he does.
Okay,
yes.
And you don't, so you'd be a good designated driver.
Exactly. So I don't know if that would be a lot of fun. I don't know if going to breweries would be... I'm just going to take him to Church Street and then Ben and Jerry's like a thousand times. I'll do something
so
like
basically
that.
You're going to do all the...
Tourist things?
Or Uber tourist things.
The predictable stuff.
Rich, you just said, I'll take it to Church Street and the waterfront. So
that's what you
don't
just
act
said,
like you've got some great
I'm not saying
side
it's a negative
plan.
Thing. I'm just saying, no, I have some secret hangouts.
But Church Street's only three blocks. After the 15 minutes it takes you to walk Church Street, then what do you do? I heard a couple from Montreal. They go, so this is the famous Church Street. They're walking up and down. He goes, it's not very big.
They have their own famous Church Street in Old Montreal there where it's just a cobblestone road.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, all right, take him to, Swanton.
You can take
Derby. I'll take him to Derby, right?
You can
right.
take him to intern Nick's Hannaford up in Swanton.
Yeah, that's a real destination.
There's a party up there.
You know what you should do is you should go drive through Aalborg.
The Notch.
You should go drive through Aalborg and then go over the Lake. Yeah, the Rouse's Point Bridge. Yeah. You're into New York, and then just come right back.
Rich, absolutely. Where did I want to go? Where did I say I wanted to have dinner?
That's you wanted to have dinner? Is this tonight?
Well, no, Friday, but I'll take my brother there.
You wanted to take your brother to a restaurant in Isle Lamont, which I told you is about as far out in the middle of nowhere as a place can be.
Well, either that or for my wife for her birthday, but they like stop at 8 o'clock. I want to do something special for my wife, but now I'm figuring what the hell. Just forget about
you,
it.
I've been to Isle Lamont many times, and I can assure you nothing happens after 8 p.m. in Isle Lamont.
You want to do something special for your wife?
It's her birthday.
Are you
feeling
okay? She's
30 years old.
Did you just say that?
Mother's Day, you hate.
Yes.
Anniversaries, you hate.
Exactly.
And birthday, you're all of a sudden you want to do something special.
He must be in trouble.
No, I got to get something other than a card and me wrapped up in a bow. You know, I got to get.
Gross. Oh. How about pizza?
Pizza, there you go. Come on. Look, it's one thing where you're going to take your brother, but where are you going to take. I mean, we've been married a long time. How long have we been married?
Well,
like 25 years or something like
that's incredible.
95 we got married, so 24
years. That is incredible.
Years.
What the hell was she thinking?
Are you paying off your newlywed game? Is this what the fact that the newlywed game is now released to the public, you have to be nice to her?
I think so. It's her birthday. I got to do something for her.
I got a place.
Yeah, where?
Micronesia.
There you go.
I love this one.
Sometimes she'll look in the mirror and say, "Damn, my butt looks good." What's going on, guys? Who said that?
Honey!
You?
Yeah!
You always said you have a big butt.
Yeah, I'm talking about my butt!
Oh, man. I don't know
what
about you, Arnie.
Too.
I don't know about you, Arnie. I want to just slug that guy. I don't know about you, Arnie. You know about me when I take an elbow to your throat, you will know more about me.
She's still with you.
I can't. No, seriously, that host I wanted to just crack. I wanted to punch him in the face. Well, it was really irritating.
Just
me
like
back
your
then.
Wife with you after you said this.
What's the least attractive part of your body? Beth, you are. I think her chest. Can we just move on, please? What did you say?
Just my stomach.
Stomach.
I'm really obsessed with my stomach.
That's my bad.
You know, it's kind of like my chest.
Arnie, like you.
Sit down,
Arnie.
If you went to the movies, this would be a good double feature before the main event. 30 minutes of the newlywed game. Like in the drive-in or something like
Chances
that?
Chances are pretty good. It'd be a hell of a lot more entertaining than the actual movie.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. I'll figure out something. It's her birthday on Sunday, but we're going to go out Friday night. So.
Well, take her to that place in Isle of Wight. That's awesome.
Yeah, but they close at 8 o'clock. By the time I get home, it's going to be like 8 o'clock by the time I get there. I can't even do that.
Isaac says, for her birthday, tell your wife you like her chest.
I'll do that. Write that down. I'll put that in a card. I love your chest, baby. And just go ahead and send that down. So I
bring him to a Sable Chasm. There you go, Rams fan Ralph. That is a
I don't
cool
even
place.
Know what that is.
It's a place right off the Burlington to Fort Kent ferry. It's very high walking places with lots of cliffs and things like that. It's kind of cool.
What do you mean? Well, like she's going to push me off or something?
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd bring you
what
there.
What the hell are you talking about?
How about Lake Placid? Rams fan Ralph
no,
said that's true.
I'm not going to Lake Placid.
It's a cool place.
Get out of here.
A little too far.
Right, because there's nothing around here, right? I have to go to Lake Placid. Right.
Meanwhile, the Vermont Chamber of Commerce is screaming at me.
Yeah, good call there, Rich. Yeah. Go to New York because there's nothing around here to go to. All right, Brady, go ahead.
Well,
I don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Clint Frazier, before we get to Buster Olney, we've got to wrap up our thoughts here. 802-655-6672. Clint Frazier says he feels the New York media has treated him unfairly. Do you believe he has a point, / is he proving he's not cut out for New York?
He's proven he's not cut out for New York. But, yeah, they've got a point. Okay, when you do this, you make yourself look bad, whether you're a big player or a small player, first time coming up 3 years with the team, or a big veteran out there. You know, somebody sent in a text, I don't know who it was, why don't you learn from Bill Buckner, who had one of the biggest horrific errors in all of sports, and yet he stood up like a man and took the question. So, I mean, if he could do it, you should be able to do it. And I think it's ridiculous that you avoid the media.
I think he's walking a fine line as somebody who hasn't been around very long. I mean, he talked about the two stories that they wrote about his hair. Well, guess what? If you have a lot of hair and you're coming to play for the Yankees, that becomes a story. That's the stuff that people care about in the number one media market. You can't let that bother you.
No, you can't. But I do think he's right that he has been unfairly treated by the media. That whether it's by the newspaper, sports radio people, or by just the Yankee-centric broadcasters, he's right. I get it why he's upset with the media. Michael Kay questioning him coming back from a concussion, saying yeah, Shane.
That was a while ago, though.
It was last year.
Yeah,
it was last year.
So what are you holding it? You know, what are you holding it against everybody now?
You got anybody that you don't like from 20 years ago that you still don't like?
Yeah, but he talked to the media after that, did he not? It's just now recently it's come back up again, right? He's talked to the media since the Susie Walden incident. No,
little Susie Walden wants to come out and play. Susan Waldman.
Okay, well, I thought she goes by Susie. I'm sorry,
Susie Walden.
Close
enough.
He talked to the media after those incidences, but now he's not because of his bad game. So I think he's kind of making an excuse, or you know, you're making an excuse for him.
Frazier should have spoken to the media on Sunday night. I'm not saying he lost the game for the Yankees. He said he lost the game for the Yankees. I don't believe that. One play never does it for you. But
there were three of them with him.
He had
a lot to do with that loss.
He misjudged the ball. He let a ball get under his legs in the outfield, et cetera. No, he did not play well. He needed to toughen up, Buttercup, as Arnie says, and be able to face the music there. He's going to reap the benefits of it when you play well in New York, and you're going to have to take it when you don't. It's a part of being accountable, part of being a professional. But, I mean, when people are questioning you about not coming back from injury in a timely enough manner, especially like a concussion in which you really have no control over that. Right. That's not like, hey, I got a strained hamstring and I can go rehab it for a week and then I can be good. This is a concussion where you have to be cleared by an independent neurologist, etc. He has no control over if he has post-concussion symptoms or whatever.
Right, but that's just one knucklehead comment on that. You kind of laughed that off when you heard that, don't you?
If that bothers him, he's in for a surprise. I mean, and I agree. That is something that Michael Kay probably shouldn't have said.
It's stupidity is what it is.
But it's just the beginning of the tidal wave that he's going to make worse for himself.
I don't think he's going to be in New York much longer, and I really don't think it has anything to do with his comments yesterday. I don't really think it has anything to do with the media beef or anything. I don't think they're going to ship him out as punishment. There's just not really a place for Clint Frazier in New York when everyone is healthy. And we use the words healthy in New York this year extremely sparingly because it hasn't happened. But Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Hicks, Brett Gardner, Jacoby Ellsbury, that right there is five outfielders who would be ahead of Clint Frazier on the depth chart either by skill or by money owed that they would have to be playing. Now, and they've got Cameron Maben. Like, they have guys out there. They've got other guys in the minor leagues who have proven to be valuable that can come up and play. I don't think they need Clint Frazier. I think he could go fetch them another prospect in another position that they do need, or go give them a pitcher if they want to try to help them win the World Series this year.
Yeah, you're not shipping him out because of this.
I just think there's no room for him.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you're not going to hold it against him. If you're the New York Yankees, this is a nothing. This is not even a mosquito bite. You're not paying attention to the way
the injury bug has hit this team, you wonder if it's a good idea to get rid of him, though. I mean, and I'm not talking about sending him to the minors. I'm talking about trading him. It's just the way things have gone for them. They've got to be careful who they get rid of. They need everybody. It's all hands on deck right now, whether you're a double-A guy, triple-A guy, or an actual Yankee.
This is one of the worst rash of injuries I've ever seen.
Oh, it's been unbelievable. And they're still in first place.
I mean, we talk about injuries with the NFL, but for like, 12, 13 guys in Major League Baseball, you're way behind the eight ball.
Boy, the text line's blowing up for where you should take your wife.
Yeah.
So, Blue Paddle in South Hero.
Have you ever been there, Rich?
Yeah, very nice.
Very nice.
Fancy. Right on the main drag.
So,
yeah,
it says the Champlain Valley dinner train. Have you been on that?
I have never been on a dinner train.
How is that?
It was awesome.
Oh, you had a good time?
Yeah, it was great. We did that last year for Jess's birthday.
You know, I suggested that with my brother. My wife goes, what are you, old people?
No, it actually was a lot of fun.
Really?
It was
a ton
of fun.
Oh, maybe I will do that.
Mike in Swanton, and we just suggested you go to Swanton, and now he's telling you to go to Al's French Fries.
Yeah.
Boy, what a romantic place that would be.
And then the Prohibition Pig, which I've been to a couple times.
Yeah.
So that's a good place also.
Take her to pizza, Alex.
That's
never going to go away.
No, that's never what... I can't believe I even said that. I pride myself on being quick-witted and coming up with the answer, and I just froze on so many answers. It was crazy.
Isaac says go to Queechy. Now, this could mean a lot of things. Queechy is the place with that really tall bridge where everybody jumps off of it to their death. I hope that's not what he means.
I think that's exactly what he means. That's why I'm like, what is that? Where does he want me to go up there? What's going up there? Mike wants to know, what is Frazier's real value, Brady? Trade-wise.
I think he can get you a prospect at the lower levels that's pretty good that can help you restock the minor league system at the lower level, or maybe get you a major league player that could be a piece now.
All right. 2 hours are in the books. The Power Hour is coming up next. Brady will tell you what's trending. Then we'll get you ready for Buster Olney. He's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. What am I putting through the game? It is the Power Hour of the show. What are you laughing at there?
Isaac says, no, don't jump off the bridge in Queechee. He means the scenery is nice around the bridge.
Ah. And you were telling Brady about the Lamoille.
Oh, the rail trail. Gorgeous. Every weekend. Yeah, that one and the Missisquoi one now, up in St. Albans.
You don't even know what the dinner train is?
I have not been on that. You were talking about going out on the lake on the Spirit of Ethan Allen, which is a great time.
No, one of our listeners said, take the dinner train.
Okay. I have not been on that.
No. I can't believe you don't know what that is.
I know there's a train that runs sort of a scenic train, runs down through Shelburne. I think it goes down to Charlotte and then turns around and comes back. But I'm not sure.
That'd be kind of fun. I don't know if my brother would be up for something like that.
Yeah.
Dinner, sitting around doing nothing but just eating and drinking.
You got Discover Jazz this weekend. Just go downtown. Is it going to be this weekend?
Well, he's the 18th through the 23rd he'll be here, and that's when the Burlington Wine and Food Festival is going on.
Okay. All right. I don't know anything about that either because I don't drink wine.
Yeah. I don't drink wine either, but I do eat. I do stuff my face, so I will go ahead and do that. There's a lot of stuff to do. You know what? I should just take him down to Boston.
How about a Lake Monsters game?
It's opening day on that Friday.
Yes, you just a week said, from Friday.
Yeah. Wait, you said he'd be here the 18th to the 23rd. Right,
that opening day, he won't be here.
The opening day is the 14th.
Excuse me, the 13th through the 18th. I'm sorry, the 13th through the 18th.
Okay. So you can't plan things if you don't know when he's actually going to be here.
I'm sorry, he'll be here a week from tomorrow, if
should
that
we,
makes sense.
Should we do a double date for your wife's birthday? Because Jess's birthday is on Sunday, your wife's is on Monday.
Oh, yes.
Sounds like it's going to be beautiful.
But I'm working. I work on the weekend, so I can never go out on the weekend.
You can't have lunch?
No, I can't do that. I got so much going on with the show. That's why I'm taking her out Friday night. You know what I mean? That's why I got to do it Friday night.
Supposed to be nice this weekend.
I got to open up one of my days. I think I'm going to have to take away one of my national shows on Saturday. So
you've
I
been
have a weekend.
Saying that for the whole 3 years.
Yeah, but
I've
mean it this
you.
Time, though. I yeah. mean it this time.
Okay.
I mean, 5 years of, you know, it used to be I only worked Sundays 2 hours.
Right.
It was only a 2-hour show on Sundays. I didn't work Saturdays. And then they increased it to a 3-hour show, then a 4-hour show, then it was Saturdays and Sundays.
That sounds like hell.
It's hell.
I can't even imagine. All you're doing is speculating for 4 hours.
No, it's 3 hours, though. It's 3 hours.
Well, three's even. That's just as bad.
And 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. on the East Coast is late. I go to bed at 2:30 in the morning.
I hear your show every now and then on Friday nights coming back from the bar.
Saturday nights. I mean
Saturday nights.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. When you're
whatever night
bar.
It is. But I hear
whatever
you.
Whatever night it is.
Your partner is a lot louder than you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of crazy.
The Sunday partner is a little crazy. The Saturday partner is a millennial, so he's a lot like Brady. You
know
what I mean?
Yeah, loud.
Loud, afraid.
Thinks
like
he knows everything.
Well,
we just lost half our audience.
There you go. No, I just...
Couple of old farts trying to explain how life works.
But I'm taking on my wife for her birthday a week from tomorrow.
Well, maybe
or Friday,
thinking, well, maybe we could ask Buster where a nice place in Randolph would be to take your wife for her birthday.
Yeah, exactly. You got a nice place down there in Randolph, Buster? What do you think?
Yeah, I just walk out in the pasture, you know, take care of business. You get a couple hamburgers.
Nothing says romance like animal slaughter.
You save a lot of money. You know, Buster, I want to start with this. We were talking about a friend of mine. This is one of those questions out of left field that I love to ask you before we start into the Red Sox and stuff.
So the question about getting where to get a good meal in Randolph, wasn't that a left field?
No, that was
go ahead.
That was a serious question.
Is there anything beyond McDonald's in Randolph?
No. This is where my my friend has a 12-year-old son, and he finally said, okay, he's been bugging his dad that he wants to throw curveballs. He finally did hurt a pop in his elbow. How young should you be when you could start first throwing curveballs out there? Because he's just kicking himself now that he allowed his kid to throw a curveball. He's just blaming himself like crazy.
Yeah, and I'm just going to tell you what I know based on conversations that I, you know, talk to James Andrews and talk to folks that who work in his clinic. They don't think kids who are little league age should be throwing curveballs. They didn't give me a specific age in my conversations, but just based on their levels of concern, I think that they're thinking more like late teens, college.
Wow.
And they really believe that they should just throw fastballs and should be on a pitch limit. And, you know, if you want to throw something a little bit different, then you throw a changeup, which is like, you know, just a different grip. You're throwing a fastball. It They look at breaking balls as being incredibly dangerous for young pitchers.
Wow, that's good to know.
Buster, what do you make of the whole Clint Frazier scenario in New York, which the plot seems to be thickening a little bit? My opinion is he's 95 games into a career, and he needs to know his place.
Yeah, and I'll just tell you this. You know, my time covering sports, I never cared if someone said, I don't want to talk to the media. Because and that was fine with me. I think people, they make their own choices. Now, my one response to that, too, was that's fine, but don't whine about the coverage after the fact.
Right.
And I will tell you that in the time I covered baseball, the other players on the team cared a lot more about a guy talking than I did. So many times, if you had a young player or a veteran player who was going through a rough time, after a game, I'd have other guys in the team come up and sort of whisper to me, hey, did that guy talk? Hey, did that guy talk to you? You know why? Because they viewed that as a responsibility. It was an indication of accountability where they felt like that it was your job. Because if Clint Frazier, and believe me, his performance on Sunday night in the outfield was the worst I've ever seen from an outfielder. Like he got the outfield yips. But because he didn't stick around and answer questions, that was left to teammates. And all the teams I covered, there was absolutely was an expectation among the players that, look, this is part of the job. You're a professional, and we're in the public eye, and we get coverage. You need to be accountable for your mistakes. He's got a problem with Susan Waldman for what she said about him wanting number 7, or got a problem with some of the reporter. Take it up with the reporter. Don't just take it out on all the people covering the team.
Buster, you might be okay if somebody doesn't speak to the media, but your colleague John Shambi at ESPN wasn't. I was listening to your podcast today. What were his feelings on it?
Yeah, I mean, he feels like that, look, this is a business where there are contracts. The Major League Baseball has to deal with ESPN. It has to deal with Fox. And it's part of the responsibilities to answer questions to those entities. He has a slightly different take on it, but it's interesting because John hates, Boog hates overreaction, from the media, but in this case, he had the same experience that I have where he gets asked by players, hey, did that guy talk to you? I always tell people, when I covered the Yankees on a day-to-day basis, David Cone would always tell other players on the team, look, just walk out there and tell them you were terrible. Just go say it was your fault, because then after you say that a couple times, what else are they going to ask you? Just own up. And in that case with Clint Frazier, man, I mean, who else is going to answer questions about how poorly he played in the outfield? And I do think that what Aaron Boone said yesterday was a direct message to Clint Frazier in so many nice words, basically saying it's part of your job.
Buster Olney, ESPN MLB Insider, thanks to Lucky's Trailer Sales. Peterbilt of Vermont joins us every single Wednesday at this time on the Huddle on 101.3 The Game. Is Clint Frazier going to get traded? Not because of this, but because if the fantasy land ever happens where the Yankees actually have their outfielders healthy, is there any room for him even?
No, and I think he absolutely is the most natural trade target regardless of all this conversation. They don't have a very deep farm system at the top of the food chain. They've got guys in the lower minor leagues who are pretty good. They don't have that much pitching depth. And the one area of depth at this point that I think they really have is among those outfielders. And you're exactly right. Now, at some point, that the Yankees are going to add a starting pitcher. If I had to sit here and guess today, I don't feel strongly about it enough that I would bet the family farm, but if I had to guess today, I think they're going to be the team that lands Dallas Keuchel. And we'll see where that goes. And part of the rationale, I think, if you're the Yankees to signing Dallas Keuchel, is it means that you don't have to trade assets from what is a relatively thin farm system at this point.
What's the latest on Didi?
He's expected, and this is information as of yesterday, so I can't tell you if something changed in the last 5 or 6 hours, but the full expectation was that he's going to return to the Yankees lineup on Friday. And when I asked Booney about the other day, about how they're going to work everybody together, he said, look, as Didi comes back, it's not like he's going to be playing every day. He's going to be 2 days out of three, he'll be in the lineup. Gio Urshela, who they absolutely believe in, is probably going to be 4 out of every 6 days. Gleyber Torres is going to play. DJ LeMahieu's going to play. They're going to be mixing guys in and out of the lineup. But yeah, everything looking great with Didi.
I love the fact that when you say, you know, usually when someone says bet the family farm, it's just a saying. But when you say bet the family farm, you can actually back it up.
Well, that's why I take it very serious. I'm not going to bet just anything. Bet the family farm on just any topic.
Buster, staying with the Yankees, I mean, is it time for that beard policy to go away, in your opinion?
I've thought about that. It does feel a little silly at this point, doesn't it?
Yes.
And Dallas Keuchel, one of the big questions you have reporters tweeting out yesterday, sources tell me that Dallas Keuchel is willing to shave his beard in order to play for the Yankees. I mean, who cares? I know when I covered the Yankees, it was something very important to George Steinbrenner. He thought it was part of the tradition. I feel like that the most dangerous phrase in sports is, well, that's the way it's always been. It's kind of stupid, and I think it's time to change the policy.
Buster, before we get into the Red Sox, let's kind of stick with kind of an off-beaten baseball topic. Did you see and hear about this thing about how Tom Brady wants to trademark Tom Terrific?
Yep.
And now all these Met fans are coming out, and they got a protest in New York about how Tom Terrific really means Tom Seaver. Look, I have heard Tom Brady referred to as Tom Terrific. I'm not old enough to have seen Tom Seaver. Is this a big deal?
Really, at heart, it's not a big deal. I will tell you that as someone, and because I'm older than you, like Tom Seaver, when I was a kid, he was the man.
Yes.
Like, he was a big deal, and Tom Terrific was absolutely his nickname. And maybe it's because I don't live in New England. I don't hear people talking a lot, like refer to Brady as being Tom Terrific that often. And that's why when I saw it that he's making an effort to trademark that, my question is, does he really need the money? I mean, does he really need it, or should you just leave it alone and be respectful of, you know, the fact that Tom Seaver had that? It kind of reminds me, you guys remember the day, and Billy Wagner's a great guy, but when he was the closer of the Mets and he went into New York and he had Enter Sandman as his walk-up music after Mariano Rivera had it for like 6-7 years, you're kind of like, really? I don't know. Is it that big of a deal? No. When I think of Tom Terrific, I'll always think of Tom Seaver.
Yep.
And knowing that history, knowing what's going on with Seaver, why would Tom Brady, his camp, he may not even be involved, pull on that scab?
Absolutely.
What do we know about Craig Kimbrell at this point? A lot of rumors now that the draft is, you know, in the middle of day three. What are we hearing about Kimbrell?
Well, it's, and you're right about the rumors. I mean, it's getting laughable. The disinformation that's been emanated out there over the last couple weeks on his behalf. Look, I do think the Minnesota Twins have serious interest in him because they could use help in the bullpen. And Kimbrell for the Twins on a multi-year deal makes more sense than it does for some other teams. You know, in theory, maybe it could make sense for the Cubs, although there's conflicting information about whether or not they're really serious about it, because they already have some bad pitching contracts with Tyler Chatwood, Yu Darvish, and others. Here's the reality about Keuchel and Kimbrell that I don't think that, you know, all casual fans and even members of the media understand. Neither one of these guys is looked at as being a rock-solid solution. Both of them are looked at as being guys who are potentially flawed, and about whom there are a lot of questions. With Keuchel's case, it's about his physical well-being. It's about his age. And now the fact that he hasn't pitched in 7 months, missed all spring training in the first 2 months. Those are true for Kimbrell as well. And remember, in the second half last year, guys, he was terrible. 4.57 ERA for the Red Sox in 10 2/3 innings in the postseason. He walked 8 guys. And so there is interest in both guys, but it's very measured interest. And people have talked about, these are two guys who are a victim of the owners and the baseball system. No, it's because the teams that have looked at them said, look, we like them. We just don't want to pay them huge amount of money.
Right. So you don't think that's the wave of the future, though? You don't think we could see a lot more of this where teams say, we'll just get through April and May, and then we'll start looking at people like this in June?
No, and here's the other thing, too. I don't think that those two guys are symptomatic of a larger problem. I think that, you know, what we saw in the wintertime when you see guys like Adam Jones at age 33 not getting a lot of interest, that's the larger problem. Most of the guys, like 90% of the guys who have been unsigned the last 3 years and marching into the season are Scott Boras clients.
Mm-hmm.
And I think flat out, Look, Scott's done amazing things in his career. He set records with his contracts. In my opinion, he completely misread the market on Dallas Keuchel.
Buster, Rafi Devers, I think I asked you this right as the season began, and I asked you something to the effect of, are we seeing him turn into a star right before our very eyes already? What do you think now, 2 months later?
Yes, and I had a nice conversation the other day with Tim Hyers, the hitting coach for the Red Sox, about, okay, what's different in Rafi Devers? And he gave this great explanation, standing in front of me as a hitting coach, which is about the beginning of Devers' swing. He said last year, as he started his swing, he would turn his front hip away from the pitcher, and he would get wound up. If you think of like a toy, a spring, he would get wound up, he said, but he would go too far with that. And what that did is that he was going through his swing, his hands would be essentially fighting his body because he'd have to dig his way out of that deep spring. And so they reduced the movement, that turn that he has away from the pitcher, and that allowed him to use his hands. And when Tim described that to me, he goes, and his hands, they're some of the best in baseball. And he said, if he lets his hands work, then he's a tremendous hitter for power, for average. And he said, right now, his hands are working great. Absolutely. And Alex Cora told us the other day, they've been incredibly impressed with how he's improved on defense.
Buster Olney, Red Sox and Yankees insider, yeah. MLB insider. Thanks to Lucky's Trailer Sales, Peterbilt of Vermont, with us here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game. What should the Sox mindset be right now? 31-29, as we think about potential trade deadline stuff, are they buyers, are they sellers, or they just stand pat and say, hey, we won the World Series, deal with whatever happens? What do they do?
Well, and first off, I think they're going to be in a great position leading up the trade deadline, because it looks like it's going to be an unbelievable buyer's market, and here's the reason why. Out of the six divisions, three are basically settled business, okay? If you go to Fangraphs.com, the Astros in the American League West, the Twins in the American League Central, Dodgers in the National League West, all have double-digit leads, and according to those numbers, and front office people live and die by these numbers, those teams have 97% to 99% chance of making the playoffs. It's a done deal. So what you're having then is a lot of teams in those divisions in a position where they can go, you know what, we're not going to win the division, we're going to sell. And on the other hand, the Dodgers, the Astros, and the Twins, they don't have to be aggressive as buyers because they're pretty much in the dance at this point. So that means fewer buyers, it means more sellers, and if you're the Red Sox looking for short-term solutions in your bullpen, you know, I'm thinking of a Will Smith of the Giants, for example, the free agent who falls in. There are going to be a lot of opportunities for them to just pluck relievers around baseball if they're willing to take on some salary. And I think they will be. The thing they can't really do is compete aggressively for players who they're going to have to give up a lot of prospects for because their farm system's not in great shape.
He's Buster Olney, ESPN MLB insider. You know, Buster, I'm waiting for the day when you said I was speaking to an MLB front office insider. And you're talking about Jeopardy James. Is the person you're talking about? Is he going to get a job in baseball? Is he really going to get a job in baseball or what?
Oh, I have no doubt that if he were to call around, that
really?
Knowing the diverse backgrounds that a lot of these guys come from now,
really?
That teams would absolutely look at somebody that smart. Chris Antonetti, who's one of the best executives in baseball, heads up baseball ops for the Indians. I think he used to work for the Lake Monsters, in fact. You know, he said to me, so when you look at the resumes coming through baseball these days, he goes, I couldn't have even gotten a job because all I did was go to Georgetown. A lot of these guys would be lawyers or brokers on Wall Street who coming into baseball. So Jeopardy champ, that looks good on a resume.
Would Buster take a GM job?
I think I told you guys this story once. I had an executive, a really high-ranking executive, say, would you ever be interested in doing something like that? And I said, this conversation is over. We're not even allowed to have this conversation because of possible conflict of interest. You know, I mean, to quote Clint Eastwood back in the day, a man's got to know his limitations. I like what I do.
Oh, I love it.
Now, why would he ever give up what he's doing? He's got the job. There's 100,000 people waiting in line for your job if you do leave it, by the way.
Jeez. Our ESPN MLB insider, Buster, always a pleasure, my friend. Have a great week. We'll speak to you next week.
Okay, guys, thanks.
Buster Olney, our ESPN MLB insider. Thanks to Lucky Trailer Sales and Peter Builder Vermont. Well, I didn't even know that. I thought you were kidding yesterday when you say, oh, there'll be teams in baseball lined up for Jeopardy James. I'm like, oh, stop it. Nobody's going to give him a job.
Absolutely they will.
To do the analytics? And
minor league teams already want him. And now minor league teams, they have analytics people that help with the major league stuff. But, you know, the GM of the Lake Monsters really has nothing to do with the Oakland A's.
Because the guy knows the third important language or something like that.
All the craziness, and I always make fun of it, but you know the BABIP against left-handers for some Padres players actually matters this day and age. The analytics are insane.
Yeah, but I know how to read a computer also. Just punch in the data and I can read what pops out on also.
Yeah, but it's probably good press too.
So
give him a job. Give him 20 grand. He makes that in 1 minute on Jeopardy.
Jeopardy James is going to be... Can you imagine Buster going, I was speaking to Jeopardy James today and he was telling me... You think Buster would have been a good GM? I could have seen that.
All of a sudden, he's on every TV and radio show there is.
I love
it's hilarious.
It. All right, Tom Fair Tire, text on if you want to get in, 802-655-6672. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Coming up next, let's get into, for the first time, Kyrie Irving. What do we know? Danny Ainge spoke for the first time since the playoffs.
All right, that's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Agree or disagree? We want to hear your opinion. Call in now, 802-655-6672. It's the huddle.
Oh, what a catch by Zimmer!
On 101.3 The Game and 1013thegame.com.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. Thanks to Buster Olney, as always, stopping by. Always love to talk to Buster, getting a little baseball in there. Brady's bummed out. No hoops today. I told you there was no hoops.
No, you didn't. You tried
to... Where are we going to play this summer?
Well, I'm going to find some good people to play
with. Wow!
Some real talent.
I want to play in the Essex League, but they're already filled up.
Or maybe not. Maybe they just heard who it was.
I was afraid nobody was going to pick me.
How about this? How about we start our own league?
Yes.
And we just pocket all the profits.
How about if we go drive down to Connecticut and play in that 3-on-3 league with the Danettes from the Dan Patrick Show?
I think we could beat all of the Danettes.
Oh, no, but they have ringers on their team. Like, they had to pick other players.
It's like Pauly, Paps, Fritzy, and Kobe?
No, Reggie Miller's on one team, I think.
Can Reggie still move?
I don't know. Scalabrini might be on one team. You know, stuff like that.
He's a bit of a bruiser. He's too tough for me.
He's not that tough. He's not that tough.
So Scalabrini?
So he's 6'10".
He kind of looks like a redheaded Michael Rapaport.
He does.
He's really good, though. He's really good. He was an absolute revelation getting him. Scalabrini. Especially after listening to Heinsohn screaming at the refs every broadcast.
Tommy Heinsohn's been sick.
I'm just saying they could have just picked anybody to do that job, and they found Scalabrini. I think he's a real breath of fresh air.
I think Scalabrini's very good.
Yeah.
He does a show on also, I think, XM Radio, too, if I'm correct. So, Arnie, there's a lot of things.
It's really funny. We'll get to Kyrie in a second, but it's really funny that you are the first person, when somebody gets a job in media that has done nothing to get that job, and just their dad or mom got them a job.
Kind of like when I want to get my son
like your son playing hockey.
So you were screaming about Jack Collinsworth was hosting NFL Live the other day on ESPN. You're like, oh, because of all the training he's had in the media.
How old is that guy, 15?
He's 23.
Okay,
I assume that's a Chris son.
Yes.
Okay.
Chris Collinsworth.
Shocking. Shocking.
Not a lot of Collinsworths around.
Yeah, so Chris Collinsworth's son is hosting NFL Live, and Arnie's all resentful that it took me years to get these jobs, and he gets it because of his dad.
I don't host NFL Live. I don't do stuff like that, but let's be honest. I mean, you're 23 and you're hosting NFL Live.
You want your connection, your name to get your kid a position, just same way that they do. So
possibly be more hypocritical.
Are they all good dads like you?
No, see, he got the job. I just want to get my kid a tryout. Just give him, and if he's not good enough, he's not good enough.
That makes it different.
Yeah, just give him a chance to try out.
Yeah, but maybe this kid was good enough to try out.
Yeah, 23, he's the best.
Yeah,
look at Kenny Albert. I mean, how good, that guy's great.
That was in the whole family, though.
Yeah,
what's
the difference?
You don't think the father helped the sons get some gigs?
Sure he did, but I'm glad he did because he's really good at what he does.
I like Vince's text. Who's better at their sport, Arnie at basketball or Brady pinching the fat out of shape men in the beer league? Wow.
It's not a beer league.
I can answer that one after what I saw on Sunday. He was good.
Thank you.
Wow.
He's good. He's far better than from what I only seen you play basketball once, and it was pretty hilarious.
You didn't even make a shot.
Can I get out there? Can I pitch a little bit? I throw the sidearm curve.
Can you imagine
No, you
him
can't
pitching.
Even reach the plate.
I did John Candelaria style.
You can't even reach the plate.
John Candelaria didn't throw sidearm.
Yes, he did.
Did he? Dan yes. Quisenberry, is that who you mean?
No, John from the Pirates. What's right. wrong with you? John Candelaria.
He's about 9 feet tall.
That guy was the tall sidearm guy, wasn't he?
I don't remember that.
Well, then you don't remember. All right, Doug.
Hard to imagine me not remembering something.
Exactly.
Yeah, but when it comes to 1970s baseball that players, is, yeah.
Yeah,
pretty good.
I'm going to look into that. Man. I don't remember him as a sidearm.
Oh, I totally think he was a sidearm.
The Candy Man.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Tom Candiotti, the old knuckleballer.
Tom Candy, no, that's not him. No, John Candelaria, the old Pittsburgh Pirate. He was a stud. All right, Brady, get to the mistake of the day. While
mistake of the day, 802-655-6672. Thanks to Embroidery Works, Heineberg Drive in Colchester, your local shop for corporate apparel and first responder uniforms. They even offer lettering for your truck and trailer with competitive pricing and super fast turnaround. Danny Ainge spoke to the media today for the first time since really the Celtic playoff run. Remember, it was in that series with the Bucks that Ainge had that mild heart attack.
Kentakovy, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
That's what everybody's
how
been
dare you question my 70s baseball knowledge.
I'm sorry.
Rich is playing free fantasy games back then in the 70s.
Anyway.
So you're checking your team in between breaks here so you can tell us about what's happening in the White Sox Nationals
game. This is totally
game.
The opposite of the truth. That is what you do. Come on. Oh, I'm 12 for 43. You do that about three times a show.
Yeah, but I have money on the line, so it's okay.
Oh, stop. Well, anyway.
When I tell Rich that Trey Turner had a walk-off for the Nationals, he'll be like, hey, he's on nine of my team.
Yeah, well,
team.
Trey Turner was the biggest waste of a first-round pick I've ever made. He's done absolutely nothing this year. He's been hurt. But anyway, no one cares.
Exactly. Thank you.
So instead, let's go to Kyrie rumors.
Danny Ainge speaking for the first time since the mild heart attack. He spoke about Kyrie Irving. Is the wedding still on for the Celtics and Kyrie this summer?
I don't know. I mean, there's not much I can say about that, honestly, but there's ongoing conversations. Okay. Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see what happens there.
Okay. But he hasn't given, or his camp hasn't given you an indication that he does not want to come back here.
I have not received that indication, no.
That entire interview is him saying, I have no idea.
Yeah. You know
what
it is?
I saw it. It was like, everything is, I don't know.
If the wedding is still on, this is called Runaway Bride, where the bride runs away and you can't find her and she makes the news and you don't know what happened to her and she gets located and just didn't want to get married. That's what's going on with Kyrie. He's not coming back to Boston. He has no, he doesn't ever want to come back here. And I don't think he even planned on coming back here, even when he said, I want to be a Celtic for life. I think that was all lip service. And he's ready to move on. He's been ready to move on for a long time.
It was sort of interesting, though. He was really defending Kyrie a lot because everybody in the media was basically saying that they lost the whole Bucks thing was Kyrie's fault. And he came back and defended him a lot, just saying, yeah, he was off, but so was everybody else.
Of course, because he wants him back.
Yes,
sure.
Yes, but you guys keep saying, oh, the Celtics don't want him back. They shouldn't want him back. They should drive to the airport, et cetera.
The we said we shouldn't
said
bring him
that.
Back. Not that
That's
they don't
an
want
Arnie
him back.
Thing.
He always wanted Kyrie
Even
back. Jaylen, we said that we shouldn't take him back.
Even Jalen Rose was like, his teammates will drive him to the airport. Danny Ainge wants Kyrie Irving back.
So do I. Why do you include me in that group? I 25 points a game, 10 assists or whatever. Sure.
I don't want him.
People at large don't want Kyrie back.
I agree.
Our
That's
listeners
true, yes.
don't want Kyrie back. Boston fans in Boston don't want him back. I want him back, and you want him back, and we seem to be about the only ones.
He's not like he's an Odell Beckham or Antonio Brown who's been a superstar and that you don't want back on your team. He hasn't really done much. He's just not a likable guy.
Well, plus, he has 80 million reasons to come back to Boston. So,
well, as far as Kyrie Irving, too, it's fascinating because all these reports about him wanting to play in Brooklyn, man, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. If Kyrie Irving wants to win, there are multiple other situations that are better for him than the Brooklyn Nets. So when Danny Ainge says, I haven't gotten an indication that Kyrie doesn't want to be back here, that finally makes sense to me because Boston is a tenfold better situation, I would say, than Brooklyn, and a tenfold situation, I would say, better than the Lakers. The only thing that could be better for Kyrie is the Knicks and Durant. And that's the question of if he wants to go and be Durant's sidekick. Is he willing to go and do that again? But that's the only situation where basketball-wise it could be better than Boston potentially.
What would make sense? Would it make sense if Durant wants to go to Brooklyn? I mean, now all of a sudden Brooklyn becomes a powerhouse. If you've got Durant and Irving in Brooklyn, I mean, who knows?
Can you see Durant going to
Brooklyn?
No,
he's not going to go to Brooklyn.
Doesn't he just want to be in New York? Last time I checked, Brooklyn was part of New York.
No, I think he wants to go ahead and play for the New York Knicks. He wants to play for like the number one team, you know, the
number one team,
the number one brand,
they're horrible.
The brand, you know,
okay, the
Knicks,
brand.
The Lakers, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but aren't the Celtics a top brand?
According to Colin, they're not even in the top 10.
According to Colin, they weren't in the top 10 in the media, but I think that was a misprint there. I said that to Brady, so we kind of got a laugh out of that. You know, you got to remember with Kyrie, is winning really so important? If winning was so important, he'd take a cut and go somewhere else where they have the best team. They want to win. They want to be comfortable. They want to start their media company. I don't think winning is all as important as you guys think. He just wants to have good years, good stats. I mean, even if you put yourself on a great team, there's no guarantee you're going to win a championship. Plus, he gets to stay in the Eastern Conference. Brooklyn could be like one guy away. Next thing you know, they're a damn good team. Who else in the East are you really worried about right now? Unless Kevin Durant goes to the Knicks, maybe Philadelphia, and they're not going to bring back their big three. I'd be okay going to the East.
I'm usually with you that winning isn't that important to some of these players, but I think it is important to Kyrie Irving. I think he wants to win, and Kyrie cares about what the perception of him is. Okay, that's why he gets so defensive about certain things. He cares what people think about him.
Well, so does Kevin Durant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The winning matters to a handful of players. It matters to about your top 15 players in the league, of which Kyrie Irving is one. He knows
but
he's
only
going,
one of them's
going to
win, though,
but,
Brady.
But he knows he's going to be judged on championships. I believe that Irving does want to win because he knows that he has to win to achieve the kind of status that he wants in this game.
Is it possible to bring Irving and Kevin Durant back to Boston this year? Is that? I think I've asked this question before, but it's not physically possible, is it? Or fiscally possible?
Mathematically, money-wise, it is possible. Now, it would require, I believe, and I saw how this could happen, I believe it would require trading one of or both Hayward and Horford.
Which impossible.
You have, what it would have to do, no, it wouldn't be impossible.
They'd have to pay half that salary, wouldn't they?
Kevin Durant doesn't want to come here.
Well, here's, okay, I'm just.
We don't know that.
Yeah. Rich asked money-wise.
Right, because he came pretty darn close, it sounds like, to coming to Boston before he chose Golden State.
What he could do is actually pretty easy. He could sign a one-year deal with Golden State.
You're talking about Durant?
Yes.
Okay.
Durant could sign a one-year deal with Golden State, and then they could trade him to Boston for Horford, who also has 1 year left on his deal. Okay. Horford could go to Golden State, try to chase the ring with them, and Durant could come to Boston. That is how it could actually work, because you have to trade relatively equal salaries, so Durant and Horford would almost cancel each other out, so you could do a one-for-one trade Durant for Horford and probably throw in some Celtic draft picks, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, Golden State's not going to have any of that. I mean, if you add gold, Boston has so many picks, they don't even know what to do with them at this point. So, yeah, they could sweeten the deal, I suppose.
If the option is Durant leaving in free agency and Golden State getting nothing versus them getting Horford in return,
right.
I mean, yes, it's unequal in terms of player value, but if your answer is nothing in free agency or Al Horford, well, then I think they could do a one-on-one, but you probably throw in a draft pick anyways.
And I would think draft picks would be appealing to Golden State because they never have any, but they're like the Patriots. They get the last pick of the first round year after year after year.
Todd said Brooklyn has room for two max players, either Kyrie and Durant or Kyrie and Anthony Davis. Done deal. You know who's the most valuable player right now is Golden State's Klay Thompson, who's not going to be able to make that extra, $50 million. So he's going to kind of come with a little bit of a discount. They say Draymond Green's the one out, the one that's going to be on the outside looking in, and that they will consider trading him. At least I think that was according to Colin today. I don't know if Draymond Green brings in a lot on the open market.
Come to Boston.
But it could be one of those pieces where if you're a guy like Kyrie and you find out that you can get Draymond Green, maybe that's enough for you and one other half piece there, and then maybe you think you got a good team.
Ainge also spoke about that one of the priorities this offseason was to restructure Al Horford's deal and therefore make him more affordable. I would have to imagine that that's Danny Ainge saying, we'll take a guy who has 1 year left on his deal and try to make it 3 years or so, give him longer term security in Boston, but make it a smaller overall number for us. What do you think about Ainge saying about that, about Horford?
To make it a smaller number for him? To go ahead and make it easier for
basically,
him to keep him?
Instead of 1 year, $30 million, they go and give him 3 years and $45 million. So he gets more money total. It's less money per year, though, so it's less of a salary cap hit to the Celtics. So they're giving
I'm taking the 1 year, $30 million.
If you're Horford.
Yeah.
And if you're the Celtics, would you rather have him at 1 year, 30, or would you rather have him for 3 years but extend it out?
I would
cheaper?
3 year, 45, but that the math doesn't come out to the same. If I'm going to get 30 for 1 year and then I'm a free agent, I could probably get another 20 to 30 again. Why am I going to settle for 45 for 3 years? It doesn't equate. Yeah.
Again, I'm just making up numbers.
You're not going to save that much. No, if I'm the Celtics, I would want him for 1 year. I don't want to. Again, I'm not into the long term thing, especially when you don't know how these players are going to be. I'm not going to give you long term contracts. Yeah. I'm not getting burned like that.
It depends on what we're talking about for 3 years per year with Horford. I mean, are we talking about $12 million a year? 20? I mean, I can't even imagine giving him a 1 year for $30 million, but that's basically what the setup is looking like.
Yes, that's what it would be this year. At Horford's age, being past 30 years old, I don't really want him around for three, 4 years.
No.
Now, he's a great passer. he's good down low. He plays well defensively, especially against Embiid. But I don't know if his leadership skills were enough to keep him around long term just for that. He's not enough of an elite shooter to, you know, to say, oh, he'll age until age 35 and just be able to shoot threes. I love Horford, but I don't think I want him 3-4 years.
No, if you have no choice, I guess I'd take the first one, just one at 30 and just, you know, grit your teeth and just deal with it. Because, I mean, he's not a horrible player. He's average L.
He's very good, actually. You are harder on him than I think that you should be, because you have this idea that, hey, max contract players need to be 28 and 15 all the time. But that's not what NBA players are that get max money. So I like what Horford does. I think he adds a lot of value to this team. Rebounding, he can score between 14 and 17 a night and play good defense. I just don't think that it's someone I want 4 years down the line until age 35, 36.
Yeah, Charles Barkley, by the way, agrees with me. I heard him on they play snippets from Dan Patrick's show. These salaries have gotten out of hand for guys that are getting max contracts for not putting up numbers, Brady, as you just said. Yeah. It's ridiculous. And he said that the owners have made a major mistake when they went through the CBA with,
like,
with
baseball.
The NBA.
Like baseball used to be when all these guys got big money.
It is just horrible. All right, time for a tire text line, 802-655-6672. The 4-minute football fix that's coming up next right here on 101.
Kellogg Road, Essex Junction.
The Patriots are coming off another Super Bowl. And the Giants are looking to get back to relevance. We know the season is a ways away, but there's never an off-season for talking football. It's the 4-Minute Football Fix on The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle, 101.3 The Game. By the way, last story standing, you're going to love it. I've been biting my tongue. I didn't say a word. I'm going to tease it to you. We have gotten Rich Haskell an extra 1 week of vacation.
Nice.
Is he going to go out with the dead girl or with the girl who was dating the ghost?
No.
That's what I really want.
This is the truth. I've talked to the boss, the owner. Wow. We're going to get Rich Haskell an extra 1 week vacation.
Okay.
And we want to send you to... Wow, I'm not going to tell
okay,
you.
Okay, I can't wait.
Very exotic.
Not one part of me says, this isn't suspicious at all.
No, not at all.
None.
The best part is it's for a bike race. So I'll tell you about that later on. That's coming up in the last story. So you're going to love it.
Oh, I'm sure.
You're going to love it.
Can't
all right,
wait.
Brady, let's get to the 4-minute football fix.
Well, 4-minute football fix is ironic, and what we were talking about yesterday was Patriots running backs. We're talking about Sony Michel and how things might work out between him, Burke, Damian Harris, James White, etc. So we're talking about that. And I went and read stats today at Patriots minicamp that Sony Michel, they want him to become more of a pass catcher out of the backfield so that they're not so one-dimensional with certain guys on the field. It was an amazing stat to me because it was 75% of the snaps that James, 75% of the plays with Michel on the field ended up being runs. 75% of the plays with James White on the field ended up being passes.
Right.
So it was almost completely predictable that when Michel was on the field, they were running. When White was on the field, they were passing. Now, White obviously was able to run the ball sometimes. 25% of the time, things would happen, and White could actually run pretty well. But if Michel's focus, if their focus is to get more balance for both White and Michel to be more unpredictable, that's a focus for Josh McDaniels.
You're not saying that they threw it to the running back. You're just saying they threw it on that play. It could have been to anybody,
correct?
Right? Okay, so that doesn't mean that they threw it to the
running. But when Sony Michel was on the field, 75% of the pass, 75% of the plays were runs.
That is a little shocking because you don't have to throw it to him. You could 50-50 would have been like, you don't know what's coming up. Play action, throw it deep downfield. I'm surprised they were so predictable, and teams couldn't stop the run. That's kind of crazy.
That is surprising because defenses can, I'm sure there's more to it, but Sony Michel's in the backfield. They're running.
I said this yesterday when you said, what are they going to use White? I said, well, as soon as those guys come in, you know it's going to be a pass to the backfield. And I'm not a defensive coordinator, and I said that yesterday.
Well, it's interesting, too, because of the thought process around the Patriots this offseason has been they're going to transfer into a power team. Not necessarily power running, but a power team. They've gotten bigger, more physical players. You look at guys like Demaryius Thomas. You look at guys like N'Keal Harry. You look at taking Damian Harris out of Alabama. They've gotten bigger. They've gotten physical. They've gotten powerful. And people are wondering that's going to be the shift that they make.
But you're just talking about offense. Is the same thing go for defense? And if you're a big, powerful team on defense, don't you going to rely on them more and maybe punt and pin the other team back and say, we got a defense?
We are focused more on offense because as the rest of the league is zigging, Belichick appears to be zagging a bit. Look, the defenses have gotten smaller and faster to account for spread offenses, etc. So as those defenses, as linemen get smaller. Defensive linemen get smaller. His linebackers get smaller. Well, now the Patriots are going bigger up front and bigger on the outside. That is going to help them be able to run the football, but they just can't be as predictable as they have been in over the last season. They're going to need, if Michelle can, Sony Michelle had seven catches last year. He had seven catches last season.
He had 209 rushes and seven receptions on only 11 targets. So it's non-existent.
So if he can even catch 25 balls this year, at least give some variance in his game, well, then how much more unpredictable does that make them?
And it makes you wonder why they, plus losing a guy like, getting rid of a guy like Safarian Jenkins, whether he volunteered to leave or whether they just got rid of him, is you can go either way with that. But the fact is they're committing to the run game based on what you're seeing at tight end, too. What do they have? They've got nothing but guys. I mean, a couple of the guys caught a few passes last year, but for most part, it's run-blocking tight ends.
I wonder how much percentage was Sony Michel in totally in the year, in the game. You know, like 80% of the... Because remember, I said he's running the ball 80% of the time. I think maybe I underestimated that, maybe more than that. I think
even if their total carries, what percentage did he get?
I
wouldn't say that's fair because missed a couple of games. Okay, so you have games where he's out of it.
Well, I think this year he's going to get the bulk of the carries, like 75 to 80%, but maybe more than that when it's all said.
Would say he's going to get the bulk of the carries, but they took Damian Harris for a reason. He's going to carry the football at some point this year. Rex Burkhead and James White are going to play.
Well, you need a backup in case he gets hurt again, there's no doubt.
James White and Rex Burkhead, I don't consider to just be backups. They might be gadget players. They might be gimmicky guys. They might be guys that end up with, 15 touches between the two of them per game. But they're not just out there only to stand on the bench or stand on the sideline the entire game. And then, when Michelle needs a break, they get one carry. I don't think they have more value than that.
And I think Harris is more of an insurance policy for the run. I mean, he's the running game, I would think. I mean, Sony Michel only started 8 games last year. He missed 3 completely because of injury. So you would think Harris is more of the runner, running back guy. I mean, you just don't think of White so much and Burkhead as number one running backs in case Michel goes down, and that's entirely possible. It happened during his college career, and it has certainly happened last year.
Well, last year at this time, we were talking about how that was their big glaring weakness. Yep. It's not their weakness now. That's for damn sure. 802-655-6672. We'll come back. Last story standing, we give Rich a free one-week vacation.
Awesome.
So we can go bike riding. We'll tell you about that. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
News gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
Last Story Standing. Congratulations to our very own Rich Haskell.
Wow, what did I do?
I spoke to the boss. We are going to give you 1 week, all expenses paid, to London.
Nice.
For the World Bike Ride, where everybody gets together for riding the bikes through the streets of London.
Great. Okay. I get a week off. I'll do it.
I work so hard at this. We're going to have somebody film you, checking you drive, ride your bike through London. Brady, are you not going to watch this? Of course you
would. I'm not going to watch Rich ride a bike. No.
Why would anyone do that? The whole idea is for me
Excuse me. It's the World Naked Bike Ride London.
Oh.
I'm sorry. You have to do it naked.
But do I get a week off?
Well, you get to do it. We'll send you to London, but you got to ride around naked.
Okay. For how long?
We'll do it for a week.
Oh, I have to ride every day for a week naked?
It's the World Naked Bike Ride.
I never thought there'd be a catch to this when Arnie set it up. This is shocking.
Do you want it? Do you want to go ahead and ride around naked?
I would be willing to ride around London naked with a bunch of other people naked one time for about 10 minutes if I could get a week off.
Would you really ride around naked?
Dan Patrick, Ben Coward, weekdays 9 to 3.
Don't know what happened there. Did not even press anything.
I thought maybe Dan Patrick was calling and wanted to hear more.
I can't believe you'd ride around naked.
For 5 minutes?
How many people would watch on Periscope?
Oh, that's true. It's not like I can hide.
No. You'd have to, and you're fully naked. I'm looking at the pictures right now.
Gross.
And you're naked as a...
Are there hundreds of people that do it?
Oh, there's thousands.
Okay, so I could get lost, which is good.
You can get lost.
No, but I want to be lost. Yes. I want to be lost in the middle of thousands of people so no one can see
me. Right. You can do that, though.
For 5 minutes?
No, you got to ride the whole couple of hours or whatever it is.
I don't know.
I think people want to watch that.
I would do just about anything to get a week off.
I think it would get more than the Wilson Central School.
I don't think anybody would want to watch Rich do that.
Today's ratings, zero.
Oh, could you imagine?
Periscope shut down.
Could you imagine? 10,000. We got 10,000 views, Rich riding through London. I would do that in a heartbeat.
That would ruin a lot of days.
By the way, a winner of a $344 million Powerball jackpot got the number from his granddaughter, who gave it to him because she ate a fortune cookie, and that was the numbers on the fortune cookie.
That's cute.
So he played it, and they won $344 million on the North Carolina Powerball.
Unreal.
It's not bad.
You think so? I guess after taxes, you're probably going to get like $170.
Yes.
$170 million.
Oh, I thought you meant $1.70.
No, $170
million.
Which is
entirely possible.
Yeah. So, and check out Rich for his naked bike ride.
Ugh.
We should start that here in Vermont, the naked bike ride.
Stop right now.
Why?
It's the last time we're going to talk about this. This is like asking me to sing. It's just not going to happen.
You would sing. If we gave you a week off, you would sing.
Oh, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right, you take enough time off, though. You're like our salespeople.
Wow.
You are.
Oh, gee, thanks.
You're totally, you're worse than the salespeople.
And we both bring in about as much money.
Wow.
What's coming up on the
We're all taking shots at the sales
today.
Team
yeah.
now.
Oh, I'll do it every day.
I love them all dearly.
Yeah, no,
come
you
on.
Don't.
What's
you don't even know their names.
You don't.
Nick?
Yeah.
Nick, the sales guy, yes.
Bruce?
I don't know if there's a guy named Bruce.
Karen?
Yeah. Karen, yes.
Dave?
Yeah. Yes.
Who's the short guy?
Jeff?
Not Jeff. We know Jeff,
Ron.
Of course. Ron, that's his name. Ron's the one I have to start learning.
I don't know who Ron
Katie.
Is.
And who's the girl?
Katie.
Who's the girl?
Teresa?
Teresa's the one I'm talking about, the one that ran the marathon.
All right. Okay. Bye, everybody.
All right, bye. We got to go.
Bye.
Dan Patrick and Colin Coward, weekdays 9 to 3 on WCPV.